listen to the Black Guy Who Tips podcast. Because Rod and Karen are hot.
Motherfuckers can't rhyme no more. About crime no more. Till I'm no more. Cause I'm so raw. My flow expose holes that they find in yours. Was it for me? Niggas will still be dying for hoes. But I hate when a nigga sit back admiring yours. Young blood, you better get that. We frying because niggas don't want to be confined to riding the iron horse. And don't listen to these rappers. Yo, they dying to floss. I used to be OT. Applying the force, shoot up the whole block, then the iron I toss, come back with the click playing Diana Ross. I'm the boss and this is how it's gonna be. Hey, welcome to the Black Guy Who Tells podcast. Your host Rod and
Karen,
and we are in the house. That's right, Karen is here, y'all. Mm-hmm. That's right, we only missed a day really of podcasting. We moved the feedback show to a Sunday. Mm-hmm. And you know, Karen's here. She's a bit swollen up in the face area, but she's you know, a trooper. She's ready to do some feedback with you guys. Mm-hmm. So you know, and this was not my idea. I don't want y'all to think I'm Ike Turner. I feel like the whole time she's been walking around with this swole face all weekend and people been looking at me like, should I slide her a note for help? And I just want to be like, no, she had oral surgery. So, you know, she swelled up a little bit. But then at the same time, that's probably what abusive people say, is they got a built-in excuse already. Like, oh no, she just fell down the stairs. Don't worry about that. When I had to eat, I was about to be like, felt like I was supposed to order for Karen. No, the little lady will have a soup. And don't look her in her eyes, waiter. Okay? You get away from here. And I will have 5 pieces of chicken, some macaroni and cheese, and she would just have a salad. So yeah, but she's here. So how you feeling?
I'm feeling good. I'm glad I can finally try to kind of crack a smile.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, she's real swole. You can't really see the smile. Mm-mm. And stuff, and the swelling is going down slowly. Mm-hmm. Shout out to the doctors. You know, they did a good job. Mm-hmm. You know, he told me he was like, I had to take out her teeth through her nose, and mm-hmm. he was like extremely proud of that. He told me like 2 times in like 5 seconds I got to talk to him. He was like, yeah, you know, I normally don't do that, but you know, like 6 times a year, yeah, take teeth out through the nose. I was like, all right, cool, bro. Like, good job. I mean, what you want me to say, bro?
That's a rarity. For those of you going, well, why does she have teeth taken out in the first place? I want to get braces. Mm-hmm. This is something I've been wanting to do since I've been an itty bitty girl. And when I was younger, Medicaid and Medicare wouldn't pay for it unless it interfered with your speech. So like a lot of adults, come to find out, shout out to all the adult braces people out there. There are a lot of adults that get braces later on in life when they can afford to get health care and FSA and all this adult shit. You can pay for it. And it just so happened that 2 of my adult teeth formed behind my nose, and they just sat there. And I didn't even know they was there till like the last few years ago. And so they was like, yeah, in order for you to get your teeth taken out, I actually needed a total of 8, but I had already had my wisdom teeth taken out years ago. They was like, yeah, you need 4 more. So yeah, they had to pull the teeth behind my nose.
Yeah, and he was really proud of that, man.
That good was for an him. Accomplishment, because honey, yeah, I wouldn't know.
All right, good for him. So yeah, we went ahead and you know, got that done. But yeah, Karen swole up, but she decided to be a trooper and do this show for you guys anyway, because mm-hmm. she loves you guys that much. And yeah, this is something that, you know, now she's on audio record. As I did not touch her, okay? I did not hear her at
no,
all.
No, he didn't, because it and you know what the thing is, and I was with him, but just the looks that people was like, not really throwing at me, they was like cutting at him, just complete strangers. They're like, I know you put your hands on her, right? I was like, no, he didn't. Like, I can't explain it. Like, y'all, there's no abuse in this relationship whatsoever. But it was just amazing, because I guess my face just looked like I just got a good ass whooping. So everybody was like, I know you put your hands on.
Mm-hmm. But yeah, it was people, like the waiter would walk away and she would just be looking at me like, mm-hmm. I'm like, what the fuck? I'm out here helping her get out the house and get some soup in her life.
Yeah. Now, one thing I can say, y'all, we were joking on Facebook, but I ain't gonna lie, get a man that can do both, because Roger took care of me and he made homemade soup, y'all. I ain't getting no canned soup. Mm-mm, no, 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 Campbell's. I got some homemade soup and I ate the hell out of it.
I made Karen. I've been, you know, doing all the stuff you're supposed to do to take care of somebody, you know, set her up on the couch with a video game, made a couple soups. I made a clam chowder. Mm-hmm. And then I made a tomato soup yesterday. Mm-hmm. Which is, the tomato soup was some, it was, the instructions were some bullshit, but the soup turned out good. Mm-hmm. Like they said it only take an hour in a crock pot on high. That, mm-hmm, nigga, that's a lie. That shit took, it would have took like at least four, but instead I had to do it overnight, like for 10 hours. But you know, went to the store, got all that stuff. You know, had to do the gauze. If you guys have ever had oral surgery, you know, you have to put gauze in there. So I had to do all that stuff. She was bleeding a little bit from her nose and, mm-hmm, mouth, and she was all drugged up when we got back. So I had to, you know, help her out with all that stuff. Which, you know, is to me is no, it's just something that you have to do. I think a lot of times when people talk about marriage and they talk about relationships and shit, a lot of the moments that I think people really look forward to is just like the good stuff, first house, first right. car, first, mm-hmm, first child, you know, shit like that. But you know, that's part of me that does look forward to the moments where you have to step up and take care of people and do things to, you know, because that's what you're really here for. That's what we're both here for, you know, is the fact that, you know, when the doctor's telling me, you know, oh, you got to, these are the instructions to take care of her, then I'm like, look, I want to make sure that happens. I want to make
I'm
sure
glad
that we,
he was, because I ain't seen nobody's instructions.
Yeah, you know, you gotta remind people, you know, oh, you gotta flop, you gotta swish them out of your mouth. You can't with some warm salty water. You can't spit. You can't you know, can't use a straw. You can't, well, Karen doesn't smoke. You know, you gotta, you know, you gotta get in there and brush your teeth when you can. You can, you know, be careful what solids you eat and stuff like that. You know, I was already planning on like what kind of soups I was gonna make and all that stuff like weeks ago, cause to me that shit is important and you do want to make that transition as easy as possible. I've had my wisdom teeth out. I think I was living at home when I had my wisdom teeth out, mm-hmm, but with my mom and me, and you know, that was like one of those things where I remember how I felt during that time. All I wanted to do was take drugs and sleep, to be honest. And then, you know, you get yourself some chunky soup or some shit, that's dinner. So I just wanted to make sure that all that stuff was taken care of and that she had to do the least amount of stuff possible. I already do like a lot of the cleaning and stuff, mm-hmm, with certain stuff anyway, because I'm the one that's at home, so that part wasn't that big a deal. But yeah, the, you know, making sure, because Karen always cooks and shit for me, like when I'm up here putting up the podcast and stuff at night, sometimes Karen will go in the kitchen and make food or something like that. So you know, all that shit matters. So I wanted to like make sure you were as comfortable as possible, since I knew, you know, if I was out of it, you would have took care of me the same way. So
yeah, you did a great job. And I've had oral surgery before, because like I said, I had my wisdom teeth taken out, but not quite like this, because the thing is, they give you like this instruction book on the do's and don'ts, and I did not realize that some of the instructions were just common sense, that apparently somebody didn't do. They was like, yeah, don't come in here with flip-flops and sandals. I was thinking, yeah, they give you a drug that you must take an hour before. Yeah, why would you come here with some open toe shoes and some slide-ins? Like, tennis shoes would be common sense. They tell you, like, brush your teeth when you come in there. I mean, I was like,
well, you never know. I mean, so everything is just something somebody didn't do. True. You know, I'm one of those weird people that I don't know if it's weird, but I definitely brush and floss before I go to the dentist anyway. Mm-hmm. Even when I'm getting the cleaning, which kind of defeats the purpose of them doing all that work. But I actually do it because I don't want them up in my mouth scratching and scraping too hard anyway. And plus I floss like naturally daily, a couple times a day. So, you know, so one, it's weird whenever I do have a cavity, I'm always like, what the fuck? but then two, the other part of it is when they have to do that shit themselves, they won't fuck you up too much, because it's like, oh, you already do this every day. But yeah, I do think there's a lot of people, I think about that sometimes. I was like, What if somebody just didn't take a shower and just went to the dentist? Like, if I'm going to the dentist, I wake up, I make sure that I'm taking my morning shower. I don't go, well, let me go work out first and then I'll take a shower later. Like, no, I want to be clean. I want them to be like, this man smelled like essence of oils and shea butter. I love this guy. This is my favorite client. I'm gonna make sure to take care of all his teeth, as opposed to like, ooh, I gotta hold my nose and go through this dude's teeth.
I mean,
like,
my thing is that you got there, you're knocked out. I mean, you're out cold. And it was hilarious. I actually had before they put me out, he was feeling for my hands. And y'all, I don't have rolling or quote unquote moving veins, but I have small veins. Honey, I was halfway drugged up, because like I said, you have to take a pill prior to you going. They were trying to feel my arm and find out where to put the vein in, and I had to kind of tell them while I was dozing. I was like, hey, use the butterfly needle while I was going down for the count.
Yeah, I was in the waiting room. It was funny too, because they were playing the Christmas Smurf movie over on repeat, and I wore my Christmas Smurf shirt. It was just serendipity that let me know it's gonna be cool. And then as far as like taking care of everything around the house, I like to compare it to like a sports analogy. All right, there's like people on the sports team that just want to be there and they just want to win and they just want to not be the part that gets blamed. Like, I don't want to have a turnover that lost the game. I don't want to miss the shot that lost the game. But then there's some people that's like, in order to win the game, you got to hit the shot. You got to be willing to shoot the shot that will win the game, which also means you have to be willing to miss the shot that will get you blamed for missing the game. I feel like that's how relationships are sometimes. A lot of people want to coast and they don't want to be the blame for nothing, but at the same time, that means they never step up and do shit. So I look at stuff like that, like this weekend, or, you know, this week basically is like, that's when you want to step up. Like, that's the whole point of being married, is you want to be in that, or in a relationship, whatever kind of relationship you're in, but you should want to be that person's crutch that they can lean on. Cause, you know, there's people out here that go through this shit by themselves and it's hard, you know? Mm-hmm. So what would be the fucking point if you're like, ooh, blood, I don't want to touch your mouth. You know what I mean?
Person like, that I'm intimate with.
Right, right. You know, there's a lot of people that get kind of like, you know, like that, or, you know, I've seen people all the time on Twitter. They're like, when you get sick, when people get sick, they just turn to babies. I don't want to take care of them. It's like, well, shit, that's kind of the whole fucking deal is, you know, you sick, we sick. How we going to fix this? How we going to get through this? Let's get you the right medicines. Let's get you the right shit. Let's go to the right doctors. Let's go through all this shit, because it's just, that's when you show you care about somebody. So I think that, you know, that's a huge part of it. So I'm glad that, you know, we were able to kind of get all that stuff taken care of. And thank you for everybody who sent well wishes. Mm-hmm. I told everybody the surgery went good and you was home high as hell. And because like that post got so many likes and people leaving comments and hug up for me and say this and that for her and all this stuff. So you know, thank you everybody that did send their well wishes and stuff to us, because you know, that stuff definitely matters. All right, the official weapon of the show is
the taser,
and the unofficial sport
is bullet ball
and bullet ball extreme. And of course, we can't go through here without giving props, because this is a feedback show. Okay, guys, I know we just talked about a bunch of shit, but technically we are here.
Yeah, so for those of you listening for the feedback show for the first time, thinking, oh shit, they back.
Yeah. I know a lot of y'all like, oh damn, what is this? But yeah, it's a feedback show, so we had to give props to the people that took the time out to donate to the show.
I dedicate this song to recession, depression, and unemployment.
Today's a new day. That's right, guys, it's time to celebrate the people that took the time out of their bank account to help us out. You know what I'm saying? Tawana J, recurring donator, thank you, Tawana.
Thank you, baby.
Cedric the Entertainer W, recurring donator, thank you. Shayna W, recurring donator, thank you, Shayna. Looks like we got a one-time donation from Kemishan M, recurrent donator, thank you. I hope I pronounced that right. Cecil H, recurrent donator, thank you, Cecil. Didn't know they made new Cecils in 2016.
I thought they had a dying breed.
Yeah, I thought Cecil went out with the 1920s. Hugh G, recurrent donator, thank you, Hugh G. Michael Irvin, the playmaker, recurrent donator. Noel W, recurrent donator. Lynn Wood C, recurrent donator. B. Cole, Cubicle Negro, recurrent donator. Harold W, recurrent donator, thank you. Kimberly M. J, recurrent donator, thank you, Kimberly. Pamela A. B, recurrent donator, thank you, Pamela. We got a brand new recurrent donation from, oh man, how am I gonna pronounce this wrong? Let's say Halicu. Let's just go with HH, okay? Let's go with HH. HH, thank you so much for your recurring donation. I'm so sorry I messed your name up. I know it's messed up. Brand new, though. Go join the new members class, Conrad.
Thank you.
Cynthia D, recurring donator. Thank you, Cynthia. Mm-hmm. And that's everybody. Play me out, Kirkland.
The joy that you promised me, tell me it's all right.
The truth is,
I almost gave up. I can't explain.
The Holy Ghost power fell like heaven, like a shower.
Now I know we've been hurt, y'all, but still,
I smile.
Come on.
Even when I hurt, see, I smile.
Y'all feel that?
I know God is worth it, so I smile. Even though I've been here for a while,
still,
I smile.
Hallelujah.
Smile. It's so much to look up when you look down. Sure would hate to see you give up now. You look so much better when you smile.
Let's go.
Smile for me.
All right. So I guess the first thing we should get into are 5-star reviews. We got a couple on iTunes, none on that other spot, Stitcher. But let's get to the ones we did get. Love the show. From West Side One, who says, these two are a blast and they keep it 100. That's right, 5 stars. Thank you, Rod and Karen. Keep doing what you're doing. This podcast has become a part of my weekly routine. Your woke perspective on things is refreshing, and Karen's laugh is music to my ears. There you go. She'll be able to laugh again soon. See View Me Say writes, I love it, 5 stars. I love this podcast. It's a must listen. Rod and Karen are the best. A real place to hear some other black perspectives. That's what I'm talking about. Thank you. I plead the 5th star. 5 stars by the Big Kid 99. This show is amazingly riddled with beautiful blackness. Amazingly riddled with beautiful blackness. I like that. I am a long time listener and have appreciated every show I've listened to. From the structure of the show to the well thought out opinions on social issues, this show is A+. Even though fucking with black people is the depressing segment, it happens to be my favorite. I may just be crazy, yet I feel as though it's educational and broadens my perspective on race relations with real time examples. The Blackout Tips is surely a home to come to during a miserable commute. Thank you for providing us non-famous with wonderful material. Stay blessed. Ashton at Nuke. Oh, thank you, man.
Thank you, baby.
And the last 5-star review is from MDP38, who says, so much fun, 5 stars. I'm so happy I stumbled across this podcast through Twitter. Each episode is unique and manages to be hilarious while also thought-provoking. Well, I'm glad you stumbled upon it as well, my friend. And keep in mind, if you're not from the United States, and that means just the United States, not Canada, not Mexico, please let us know, and we'll, if you leave us a 5-star review, we'll read it, but we have to go find the country that it's actually from, because iTunes is very xenophobic and voted for Trump, okay, guys? It doesn't really support all this kumbaya come together bullshit, okay, Trevor Noah? The iTunes says your black ass need to let us know where you at, or we ain't talking to you. So I'm just kidding, Trevor Noah. Okay, don't be mad. Please send me cupcakes. I want more cupcakes. That's so, just let us know what country you from. All right, let's talk about the comments that we got on episodes throughout the week, and we got a lot of comments. We got 9 comments on 1336, but he woke me up this morning. So let's check the comments. Woo, it's a lot of comments. Lauren says the Amish do have phone booths on their farm, so maybe they have Twitter tents as well. You'll find out if you get an angry tweet hand carved in wood with a mule, Abby. Yeah, I hope they don't shun me, you know. Mm-hmm. Try to make me cut my beard off. They will do that. Okay.
They'll threaten you. Your tweet just had a pair of scissors at, mm-hmm, with a pair of scissors.
I'm gonna see a snail
trimmers.
Snail mail with a carving inside. Prof Corey says, wait, how am I pronouncing this wrong? I feel like I'm pronouncing it wrong. But anyway, I feel like she said, oh, Prof Car, it would be, let's see, Aretha, Caretha, Prof Kari says, I can't believe how hard I laugh when y'all Lil Wayne me. I can't believe you caught me off guard with that. Oh, yeah, because I was like, talking about Black Lives Matter. My life matters, especially to my niggas. Hey, offering a critique of the pronunciation of my name is the same as talking about my name. Watch out, I'll fight you. Hey, I ain't say nothing bad about Caretha. Ain't nothing. I'm just trying to get it right, okay? Mm-hmm. I ain't out here to be disrespecting people's names. If anything, you know, when I talk about people's names, I know I'm really talking about their parents, so I understand, you know. like people that spell their kids' names G-E-O-F-F instead of just Jeff. I'm just saying, man. A lot of y'all raising some assholes. I don't know what y'all doing to make them assholes, but it's just, I mean, I'm not saying every Jeff, so don't write in, but a lot of y'all G-E-O-F-F, hey, high quotient of assholes in the G-E-O-F-F community.
All of them, but I'm gonna need y'all,
yeah, y'all gonna need to self-police that shit, okay?
Call each other out.
Get a meeting or something. Figure that shit out. And I feel like I know I'm not the only one that's been like, that is a weird way to spell your name, person that is saying something stupid on my social media account. Shara says, or maybe Shira. I think it's Shira. Shira says, thanks for getting on that guy's ass about being a holier than thou vegan. There are many reasons that people decide to eat a strictly vegan diet. Ethical, health, etc. I'm unable to process dairy and meat. It's just not something I enjoy eating. Basically, do you. I would never push my views onto someone else. People hate that crap. Eat whatever you want, just don't bug me about my choice. P.S. thanks for pronouncing my name correctly. I was definitely named after a cartoon character. Oh, so it is Shira. Okay, love your show. Thank you, Shira.
Oh, thank you. And Roger knew about that because, honey, the old man at the Y called Roderick everything but his name.
Yeah, I'm not one of them people that's uptight about people getting my name right.
Oh, me either. I've been called everything too, yeah.
That's just one of them battles that I ain't trying to fight. But yeah. I understand people do. I don't know, man. Like, sometimes it's just like, it's Zephany with a Z, nigga. It's like, okay, damn. But, you know, or just like, almost like it's a personal affront that you're trying, like, are you trying to pronounce my name? Huh? No. You trying to say it's Shauna when it's Shayna? It's like, yo, this is not on purpose, you know?
Right.
And it's been with our job where we have to read people's names. At least I know I'm reading people's names every week. New names I've not seen before. Some of them can be pronounced differently. Some of them are not phonetically the same.
Letters are silent.
Yeah, I've had people just write in and give up on your boy. You know, like, just don't even say it. Just say this, you know. And I'm like, damn, I was trying, you know. I'm not trying it's no disrespect, but it's, I think it's just a mentality. My mentality is not really like that. Half of y'all write in to call me Rob, and I don't know if y'all doing it on purpose or not. And I'm just like, whatever, right? What does it matter? It's just
It don't bother me. Hey, and I don't know if it's a Black kid thing growing up, but my mama, she got in her sister's name, her cousin's name, and after a while, just AU. So after a while, I just respond to AU. So you know, I don't take it personally.
Mm-hmm. So I don't know. I think people, I don't know where that comes from, where people take it really uptight. Cause I can see if it was like some disrespect where it's like, my name is so and so, and then I just keep fucking it up on purpose.
Right. That's completely different.
Yeah. So I don't know, man. Maybe y'all,
but I think some people, I just get tired of just,
maybe y'all picked on or something as kids. I don't know.
Well, some people, they just get tired of people correcting their name, or they just know they have like a, especially here in the United States, not everybody, but you just have some assholes that if your name is not quote unquote simple, but some people just don't try, just keep this real, but if your name ain't quote unquote like white sounding, some people would just purposely fuck your name up on purpose. Mm-hmm. And so for a lot of people, they get mad and angry because they know people from their teachers and everybody purposely just fuck their names up. So some people actually take it very personally because they're like, look, I'm tired of motherfuckers pronouncing my name. I don't go around fucking mispronouncing your name on purpose. But you know, like I said,
I mean, like I said, if it's on purpose, I guess, but I just never seen, like, I don't know, I just have a different experience, you know. Like if I correct you one time and you don't get it right, to me it's just like, oh, no biggie, that person can't get my name right, and I just move on. But yeah, some people take it like they're just like, motherfucker,
I will stab you. You be like, whoa. Yeah. My bad, dog. I ain't realize I was gonna get shanked over mispronunciation of a name.
Right. Especially saying it in written format, because then sometimes I don't, like, sometimes with the English language, shit don't make sense.
Right.
You know, it's like, oh no, it's Keita, even though it's got a Q, and you would think it was Quita, but it's Keita, or whatever. You know, like, little shit like that.
Yeah.
Miss 1KO says, man, I had to donate just because of the Sunday morning testimonials. He woke me up. Folks being serious about a joke are the joy killers of life. I serve a Jesus who gifted us with laughter. Amen. The competition of who ain't complaining was golden, but that building fund, lol. And side note, Karen's laugh always makes my day. I laugh loudly like that often, and I don't feel alone in the world.
Mm-mm, you ain't alone, baby.
Yeah, I think that's I think one of the things that's interesting about the whole, when people write in about Karen's laugh, is how many women identify with that. And I think it's definitely because the world makes people feel bad for laughing. Mm-hmm. And it also makes women feel bad for being noticed.
Right. And my laugh is a heavy, hard, deep, high laugh. So it's like, if I laugh, you literally can spot it out in the room almost. And I know it's other people that laugh like me. In fact, you have a similar laugh to me, but your laugh is never critiqued the same way.
Right. Also, the other thing that's weird is people writing in about how much they love Karen's laugh. This is before that dude wrote that bullshit. Mm-hmm. Isn't that interesting? Bamil 73 says, Yele-O is furiously calling Willie D about Karen, Rod and Karen now. Yeah, he's the one who wrote in about us, about me specifically being a coon for not enjoying the, what I've thought to be a terrible raw vegan meal. Your riff about he woke me up this morning had me in stitches. It reminds me of people back home in Jamaica. How you doing? No money to run. We have a pain in me side, but me just taking a hard life easy because me a God pick me. I don't know what that mean, but
that's similar to it.
Sound like it.
Mm-hmm.
Jackie says, if the congregation is rich, I have no problem with a rich preacher, but the congregation is dirt poor and the preacher is rich, I have a big problem with that. Well, let me tell you something. I don't care what the congregation look like, but if your preacher ain't balling, step your game up, church, okay? Y'all better get on the street and get to hustling for this preacher's money. I wish I would be broke and be a preacher. Mm-mm, not your boy. I quit. I could have sold drugs for this.
No.
Mm-hmm.
That's a piece of purpose.
Mm-mm. I need to escalate. I need to prove to these people that God is real. They need to see it when my rim's spinning.
How you gonna talk about the goodness of the Lord and you selling drugs?
How you gonna talk about the goodness of the Lord and you broke? That's my point. Falcons Diva says, I'm so mad at y'all for that intro. Old church folk competing for who has it worse off but can't complain. Crack me up. I've been rushing to get caught up while being worried that y'all would go on break as soon as I was current. Thank you for the warning that you might be out soon. Can I just add that I almost wrecked my car listening to Karen's Count Chocolate Count, the Count Confusion? I swear I love y'all. Thanks, Falcons Diva.
Thank you, baby.
Evie E says, my husband left me for an 80-year-old woman and my daughter ran away. I got hit by a car and broke both legs. I lost my job and got the sugar and I can't afford my medicine. But you know what? He woke me up this morning. That's right, Evie E. Got to concentrate on the positives. And then we had a poll and it was, is it wrong for a preacher to be rich? Yes or no? And 50% of y'all said, yes, it is wrong for a preacher to be rich. Wait, what is wrong with this poll? Oh, is it because I'm logged in? You son of a bitch. Hold on, guys. Let me log out of this shit.
Oh, you messed the poll up because you in the system.
Yeah, whenever I log in, it tries to show me all these, like, advanced stats and shit. I'm like, nigga, just show me the results and the who had something to say. I'm like, it ain't that complex, man. I ain't trying to break it all the way down. People in Kansas said.
Right. You was like, I don't need it by the state.
Oh, great. Now my access is denied. What the fuck?
Uh-oh.
Okay, hold on. Let me figure this out. Give me a second, guys. I don't know what's going on with Poe Daddy. Access denied. You must be logged in. Well, don't show me that page then, nigga. Just show me the results of the poll.
So you should be able to see them without logging in.
Damn, it just keep giving me a link for not logged in. Why can't I see the comments?
Uh-oh.
Return the poll. View results. What about now? I think this is it. I think I fixed it. Okay, yes, it worked. All right, cool. Yes, 50% of y'all said it's wrong for pastors to be rich, and no, nothing wrong with balling. 50% of y'all said no. That was a close poll. No wonder these pastors be out here balling. Y'all can't make up y'all mind. Eddie says, Brother Rod, Sister Karen, nothing wrong with them balls. I mean, balling. Oh, wait. This will be Eddie Long. I'm sorry. Hold on. Brother Rod, Sister Karen, nothing wrong with them balls. I mean, balling. Thanks, Eddie.
Boy.
Appreciate you writing in. Long time no see.
Long time. So
long time.
See you still out there.
Used to write the show all the time, but I guess Eddie fell off. I mean, he did get sick, so it could be that. Episode 1337, Compassion Fatigue, where we got trolled by this dude, and then I went into them receipts and decided to get in, make his business my businesses. He couldn't just leave well enough alone. We was over here chilling, not bothering nobody. You had to call Karen an annoying bitch. Like, I was supposed to just let that shit ride. Like, that's part of the game, because we got a podcast and you just get to call us out our name.
You finna try? I bet it ain't me. Ooh, bitch, it ain't me. Cats, cats, cats. Who are you finna?
Anyway, we had some comments. Michelle says, I like petty rides. Sometimes people deserve to be clapped back. Thanks, Michelle. Confucius says, I delighted in Rod going full evil. You can say what you want about me, but once you say something about my woman, you can meet me in Temecula. For the record, I'll just say that was not full evil. Okay, guys? I kept it pretty cute. Could have been way fucking worse. For that dude. And yeah, and also, you know, Karen's not just my wife, show partner, co-business owner, co-host of this show. Like, couldn't do a lot of shit without Karen, period. So yeah, even beyond just the idea of Karen being my wife, man, you shouldn't be writing up to anybody's show talking shit about one of the women hosts or one of the hosts in general like that.
That happens a lot with women.
A lot of women take that, you know, take all that shit just for being in the public eye. And it's like, hey, man, that's not something I signed up for. Calm down. Celestia 63 says, hey, Rod and Karen, I love the way you handled that troll. When you started the show and broke down what happened, I was like, oh, shit, this dude has fucked with the wrong one. And then at the end of the show, when the troll emailed you saying he was sorry and begging for you not to report his fucked up behavior to his job, I bust out laughing. It's all fun and games until he has to explain to his family how he lost his job over some stupid bullshit.
Come on.
All he had to do was mind his fucking business and leave you alone. But instead, he chose to try to harass you and insult Karen. Whatever happens to him is his own fault. Fuck him. Anyway, I enjoyed the show as always. Peace.
Thank you.
Yeah, it's funny. When we were doing the show, I think I even said at the time, like, nothing's going to happen to you. Mm-hmm. Just leave us alone. Mm-hmm. Like, your boss, no one's going to fire you. Cops don't even get fired for killing people. You'll be fine. Just leave us out of it is all I ask. I just want your boss to be like, what is this headache? Why the fuck did you leave? Why can't you leave people alone? Mm. Just do your job. Yeah. That's it.
Just behavior to stop. That's all.
Miss Gamine Dream says, Rod had time today. Good for him.
Good for him.
Bamil 73 says, in theory, I didn't feel that fuck with because Trevor Noah interviewed Tommy Lauren. That drinks after shit is unacceptable, however. I hate using gendered insults, but because her racism is palpable, she is a racist bunt. Shout out to Thug Yoda, who doesn't accept his humanity, so I don't get the post-interview camaraderie. I'll just say this, man. You can't really separate how he treated her afterwards from the patriarchy that white women, or no, the protective patriarchy that white women are beholden to. You can't. And I'm sorry, I'm not one of these, I'm fuck Trevor Noah, I'm through with him, he's a coon. I'm not one of these extremist people. No. But at the same time, I'm not gonna pretend like because I like the dude or I like the Daily Show that shit is just normal and that's routine. Like, maybe they send everybody something afterwards. I don't think that's necessarily the most like that, even getting cupcakes and shit, I don't think that's necessarily the biggest scandal in the world. I think the fact that she spun it into Trevor Noah sent me some cupcakes tells you everything about her and how she spins facts, quote unquote, into making shit bigger and more salacious than it is. Mm-hmm. I think more importantly, the drinks thing and his reason. I watched the whole Breakfast Club interview, which I'm not a big fan of Breakfast Club. I don't think they do great interviews, and I think it's kind of a bad format for a serious conversation on racial dynamics and shit, because you got two or three people in there that don't really seem that interested in that topic. They seem more interested in trying to get off a quick joke based around that topic. Mm-hmm. And so it doesn't really come across, you know, and also it feels like they're more interested in making sure that the guest is but they just weren't going to challenge him, but then they also kind of agreed, like they have their own issues and problems with that they've dealt with, and it feels like they kind of want to put their shit in with his shit, like, well, isn't it kind of like this? And it's like, well, yeah, you know, I know that you're saying that because you're kind of a Republican that was okay with stop and frisk, so you're trying to lump yourself in with what happened with Trevor Noah. Or, you know, Charlamagne goes on Twitter and talks bad about black women essentially, and then goes, isn't this kind of the same as your shit? And it's like, so it's just not a good format. But point being, I wanted to hear Trevor Noah's side of things and have him kind of talk it out. And while I didn't feel as I didn't feel like he was as bad as, like, say Charlamagne or whatever, I still felt like, you know, to a certain extent he was being protective of her because she's a white woman. It's like he said as much with the whole, like, my audience and the people on Twitter and stuff were talking bad about her and calling her names, so I felt like we should go out for, you know, drinks with the producers and everything to show people that it's da 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 da. And I'm like, yeah, you don't make a spectacle out of that with every guest you disagree with. So let's call a spade, man. Let's be honest. If we're gonna be 100% honest, if she wasn't a 24-year-old young white woman, you wouldn't do that, and you wouldn't make the public spectacle of it. It wouldn't be, hey, look at us getting drinks, because you've had people on the show where you have disagreed and you weren't on Twitter exchanging tweets about how you don't want your audience to talk bad about them. It was different for her, and I'm not even saying that it's unwarranted. I'm sure people treated her differently because, one, she's the lowest of the low of people you've ever had on your show. She is different than other guests. But then, two, people are misogynistic, and just like Bamil just did in his reply, when he came to talking about Tommy Lauren, people can't keep it to just, I don't agree with her, she's fucked up, blah, blah. It's gotta be, well, she's a bunt, which I'm assuming is bitch and a cunt, combined, because it just, you know, it just crumbles the foundation of the very thing that you say you have an issue with, Mom. You know? So I think people do that all the time where, I'm an ally to people that are transgender, but then the second that they don't agree with Wendy Williams, they misgender her and call her a man, which also is pejorative to people that are transgender. Like, wow. People do that shit all the time and it's why people don't trust people of privilege. It is because, you know, it's why marginalized people don't trust people of privilege, is because it does feel like all you're really doing is holding back your lack of inclusion and your lack of tolerance, and you're holding back your derision, and you're calling that inclusion, and you're calling that diversity, and you're calling that you know, being intersectional, but you're really not being intersectional, because you're really just going, you're a bitch and a hoe and a cunt. But I like you, so I'm not gonna say that about you, because right. we agree on things. But if it was a woman that I didn't agree with, suddenly we go right back. And that's what Trevor Noah's audience was doing. So I do think he was in a difficult position of not wanting to look like he was co-signing that shit. But I think you don't have to then do the whole like we're basically friendly afterwards to quell that. I wouldn't have done it that way, and I think it's perfectly fine for me to say I disagree with how he did something without going, he's a coon and a sellout and an Uncle Tom ass nigga and I always knew he wasn't shit. I think it's cool for me to be able to be a bit critical of how he went about shit and leave it at that. So sorry if that went on longer than you probably thought it would. Allie says, laugh my ass off at Karen's stripper buttons. I love y'all. Mira Nirvana says, I'm here for the clapback. Compassion fatigue my ass. Consequences are consequences. Love the show. Thanks, Mira.
Thank you, baby.
Falcons Diva says, I absolutely love when Rod has time. The takeaway from Rod and Karen, worry about yourself. And Big Daddy 2 says, Trevor Noah and the media in general have shown us time and time again that they are Zan from Atlanta. They exploit for profit. Rush exploits racists using their fears, and Trevor exploits liberals. To Trevor and his dick, she is just playing a role to get paid. The whole thing sours the show for me some, as when I found out Jon Stewart was friends with Bill O'Reilly. Yeah, and I think that's perfectly fine to feel that way, because I know, honestly, I'm not going to lie, I canceled series on Daily Show because I was like, I can't watch it right now. I can't watch it without thinking like, damn, dude, like, this is, I'm not here for that approach with racism. Mm-hmm. I'm not saying it's wrong either, because I know that's a lot of people that just wanted to go into straight up, it's wrong. I'm not saying it's wrong. It's just not the way I would handle shit.
Yep.
And I think it's perfectly fine for black people to disagree on how racism should be handled and how it should be confronted, without us having to go at each other's throats or turn it into you're the worst thing in the world, which a lot of black people seem all too happy to do with other black folks, which makes me wonder about their anti-blackness too. Because,
right.
you know, I've seen people that are just purposely destructive and trolling of black folks that are black. I get that. Then I've seen people that basically, let's just say, for lack of a better term, they step into racism 401, but they haven't taken racism 101 in America.
Come on.
And you have to be like, yeah, dog, this is not what you think. Right. Yeah. Like, I've seen well-meaning people fuck up, and I do think, unpopular opinion, I do think intent matters when you fuck up. I do. And I don't think Trevor Noah's intending to troll black people with his shit, even though it's definitely, seems to be a byproduct of his opinions.
Yes.
At any rate, Paula writes in, I started my day in a lot of pain, shitty start to my day, but then I started listening to this episode of the Blackout Tips, and man, was it fun listening to Rod do his detective work to find what's his name, the racist redneck. You bet it was. In fact, it was fucking awesome. Well done, guys. Yes, I agree with Michelle, sometimes people do deserve to be clapped back. What you guys put into the world is valuable, as opposed to racist redneck who puts misery and ugliness into the world. Karen, you are the bomb, and your laugh is a genuine thing of beauty. Rod,
thank you.
Rod, I just love how you were like, you can say what you want about the show, about our opinions, but you come after my wife and you have fucked with the wrong dude. You guys made my day. Thanks, Paula. Lastly, Imani says, shit like this is so frustrating because this is the exact opposite energy you put out into the world. But don't ever take that kindness for weakness. Love y'all like play cousins, so you know I was ready to ride behind anything, anybody calling Queen Karen outside her name. But I know that's not what y'all want, and out of respect, we all held back. And that's what assholes, trolls don't understand. They think everybody is as fucked up as them, but appreciate you for staying true to yourself. Yeah, that's funny, right? Because he went over the bounds and just went at us and said some real foul, disrespectful shit. But if you've noticed, a lot of the fear that he has had over the past week of him taking on different identities, emailing and tweeting us, has all been about not wanting us to make it worse and take it, quote unquote, too far. It's been him pretending to be other people and say, well, I wouldn't handle it like that. And it's funny because, one, you absolutely would handle it like that if somebody fucked with you for no reason. Because you're that kind of person, because you fucked with us for no reason. The thing is, I'm a better person than you. So that's why I'm not telling people, if you could have had amassed a following of the size of our podcast, he would be using it for fucked up shit. You know what I mean? He would be out here like, let's harass this person, let's dox this person, let's do this to that. You know, he would be doing that shit. It's easy to find people on the internet. You know, everybody could do it, but it's not cool. It's not okay all the time. Just leave us alone and you don't have to find out, you know? And honestly, like I said, we didn't even instruct people. Like, you know how much shit we could have caused in this person's life? You know, and I'm not saying that in any positive way. I don't want to be that kind of person,
right?
Which is why I didn't bring up like, oh, let's do this and let's contact this person and let's find this person, let's see where he lives. I think people that do that shit are fucked up.
Me too.
Just leave us alone. That's all I ask. As soon as he said he'll leave us alone, I'm good. Leave us alone. That's it. We're not friends. We don't need to talk. You don't need to make up new personalities. Leave us alone and we're moving on. The show will be behind a paywall in 2 weeks. All you gotta do is wait 2 weeks. Nobody but premium people can hear the shit after that. Leave us alone. That's it. Anyway, Imani says, that's why we rock with you and a testament to what you guys have built. I know shit is draining, especially as empathic as Rod is, but it matters because so many folks are afraid to be fighters. Really do love and support y'all from the bottom of my soul and hope the procedure goes well, Karen.
Thank you, and it did.
There you go. And the poll was easy. Should the daily shower, I spelled that wrong.
It was a shower to some people.
Should the Daily Show, right? It was the shower with Tommy Loren and Trevor Noah getting their spring Thomas on. Anyway, should the Daily Show have had Tommy Lauren on? Yes or no? Yes, it's that show and these conversations need to happen, or no? You never give a person like that access to your platform. 68% of y'all said no, shouldn't even have had her on. 32% said yes, their show and the conversations need to happen. That's interesting. Michelle says you should have had a third choice for yes, had them on the show, but don't let them get to talk. Ha! I would love to see someone like that woman have to just sit and be lectured about how racist she really is. I'll just say this, if that's what you're gonna do, then just keep playing her clips and do it that way, because you ain't gonna get too far in America as a black person. I don't give a fuck if you are from Africa or you're half white, quote unquote, any of that shit. You're not gonna get too far in America as a black dude on TV berating or lecturing a young white woman for 10 minutes of airtime, or 28 minutes, or however long that segment was. That ain't gonna happen, and that's sad that it can't happen, because people should judge it by the content of the argument and be like, well, she's a racist, so
but she a white woman and white woman trumps everything else.
I don't think he could have done what, because I saw a lot of people saying like, he should have did this, he should have attacked her, he should have said, and I'm like, yeah, then the optics become she was a victim. She's gonna still play the victim no matter what. She's gonna come back and be like, I was in the lion's den and these limbrums were trying to attack me and they booed me. She's gonna play the victim no matter what. But if you play into it, it's like a tightrope. Like, I still respect the way he did the interview. I just don't know that with everything that happened afterwards, I don't know that you should even be doing that kind of interview then, you know, at least not from my perspective. I'm not saying there's a lot of liberal people, especially white people, that want to see those conversations happen civilly exactly that way. And they want to then take those conversations and try to emulate them in their personal lives and maybe talk to their family members and stuff like that. Like I said, the net positive of it it's not necessarily bad. It's just from a black perspective, it's bad to me. I have had enough of that.
Right. Them pointless conversations with white people that don't give a fuck about your views, fuck about your opinions, fuck about how you feel. A lot of times these conversations come when they drunk. A lot of times these conversations come when they high. A lot of times they care nothing about your humanity, and you get tired of having the same conversations with the same people over and over again. And after a while, you go, these conversations are fruitless. You want to have these conversations? Have these conversations with your people. I don't need to see it or hear it.
Yeah. So it ain't. Yeah. Like I said, I think there's nuance here, but people are angry, and so it's just, fuck him, he's a coon, he's a sellout, Uncle Tom ass nigga. But I think there's nuance to be had here where I can be like, I think his heart's in the right place. I just don't think it's productive necessarily, but more importantly, I can definitely say it's not for me.
Right. Yeah, now I can truly say that a lot of times when stuff like this, I can look at it and be like, oh, that ain't for me. And I'll tap out, because a lot of times I can look at shit and go, well, I'm not the audience.
Right.
And a lot of times when I go, I'm not the intended audience, a lot of the anger don't even cross my mind, because I go, oh, you ain't talking to me in the first place. People get mad. Yeah, because they're not talking to you, dog.
Right. So, yeah. But yeah, you know, that's how I would look at it. It's just, you can't really do the lecture. You can't do the shit that I would want to see on TV anyway.
No.
And then also, she's not going to sit there and let it happen. Mm-mm. Like, she's not going to sit there first. Or she's gonna yell. Like, people just, they don't have to be civil. Like, people like this, they're not in our reality. They're just doing whatever the fuck they want to do. Capadonna says, I already know I'm in the minority, but I think Trevor Noah talking to this woman was the right move, because we do live in hermetically sealed bubbles. No, Noah and the Daily Show shouldn't become CNN's crossfire where everyone's just doing partisan cosplay. But there's another danger. Throwing up middle fingers and staying in our little tribes is not a means for democracy to run. It also lets stupid ideas thrive. One of the key elements to ending de jure segregation was the black intellectual class openly engaging in dialogues with defenders of racism. Tommy Lawrence, right-wing politics grow best where there is no sunlight, like mold in a basement. Exposing these people to open debate time and time again is the only means to permanently bury them. The discourse is annoying, but somebody got to do it.
Okay, and to an extent I agree, but also some of the stuff you're talking about, laws were passed, like people were forced. Like, is it right. Completely different between we just having a conversation that's gonna net zero change,
right,
versus laws had to change, versus federal government had to step in, versus segregation had to pass, versus Jim Crow laws had to be shot down, versus the voting right laws had to be passed? Those are two completely different things. Now, I don't mind having these conversations if at the end there's going to be a change. There's going to be a change, because the thing about it, a lot of the shit that we have now didn't change until people visually saw it. Now you see people visually get shot in the street and nothing happened. Years ago, when Martin Luther King and them was on the bridge, they sucked the dogs on them. That's when laws got changed. Now we see people get shot in the back and the police officers don't get charged. So visually, that shit ain't gonna change. I don't know what the next step is gonna cause the next revolution for white people to get off their asses and understand that black people actually do mean something and brown people actually do mean something. But I'm tired of having pointless, fruitless conversation where the end result is net zero for me. Because at the end of the day, white people continue to be white, continue to be racist, continue to have racist family members, continue not to change, continue to disregard me, continue to not think twice about me, continue to just say ignorant shit about me and mine. You know, when for me, nothing changed on our end either, other than I'm wasting breath, getting high blood pressure, high cholesterol, talking to somebody that don't give a fuck about my humanity. I don't mind the conversations, but I want something to happen at the end of the conversations other than be good, have a nice day.
Here's my question. Which conversations historically have changed America? Like, what's the conversation you remember? You know what I mean? Like, I do feel like, to a certain extent, people say they want these conversations. I don't think they matter, honestly, because the difference between this conversation and the conversation that, say, someone should have at like a dinner table or Thanksgiving or whatever, the difference between that shit is honestly this. Tommy Lauren gets paid to do this. Like, there is no incentive for her to go on his show and learn something. They're not friends. Like, Noah tried to say, like, well, we're not friends, da 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 da. Here's the thing, bro. You're not friends, but also, this is how she makes her paper. So, later he compared it to having, I used to have racist friends, and they kind of changed over time partly because I stayed in their lives. And so you're kind of talking, you want it both ways. You want to say, I'm not friends with Tommy Lauren, and I'm not hoping that I can just change her through being around. But then later when you compare it to your friend that you did that for, you are saying that part of your hope is that you can change her by just being around and being in her life. That shit is bullshit, in my opinion. Cause her, unlike your friend who just, like, is your buddy and you have to be like, hey man, you know that's racist. She's a person that, hey man, you know that racist doesn't matter because, hey man, that gets me paid. Hey man, I don't get a check if I don't say that. It's different. The incentives are different. So while I do understand that the way that we've been conditioned to believe that there's just these conversations that need to take place and these people can learn if they just, that's not what this is. She makes her money by being ignorant. It's not, she's never going to realize that as long as she is paid to do it. I'm sorry, man. It's like saying I'm gonna tell a car mechanic that working on cars is bad for the world. Nigga, I can't eat if I don't work on these cars. I gotta work. So she can't eat if she's not a bigot. She gotta make this money, you know? Also, I think the idea that Trevor Noah is betraying blackness by having drinks with the woman at the show is a bit much. It's a martini, not a finger bang. To use your phrase, Rod, Trevor's at work even after the taping. He's probably had sessions with plenty of guests after his show. Okay, this is where we start adding to the narrative though, right? Start adding to the narrative. He was on the Breakfast Club and he explained that he specifically did that because of the flack that she got on social media. This wasn't a we do this all the time with every guest we disagree with thing. It was different. He's probably had scheduled plenty of guests after his show. Anyone who has ever worked above first tier customer service in corporate America has had to sit down for drinks with jackoffs or assholes you hate for the sake of the job. Hell, we all go to office Christmas party because the bosses will be there. Yeah, I just really feel like when we like somebody, we do this. You know, like, oh, and see, they probably go out every day and she just happened to come through, you know, like, no, he specifically said they wanted to make a spectacle of that to show that he was sort of being protective of her, you know, for the fact that she was getting it quote unquote worse than other people on his show have gotten it, which makes sense because she is worse than the other people he's had on there, even the people he's disagreed with. Also, political rivals can still be cordial and even respectful. Congressmen and lobbyists did it all the time until 2008. Van Jones and Al Sharpton have sit downs with Newt Gingrich, and most sane people wouldn't call them Toms. I'm not counting the ashy among us. I'm quite sure that Rachel Maddow never considered gay conversion therapy because she used to have long-winded discussion with Tucker Carlson and Pat Buchanan. Yeah, I mean, I feel you on that. The thing is, one, these aren't congressmen. There's no, like, with a congressman, you can almost say, well, you're sitting down with your rival by necessity of your job, but the goal is to pass legislation, so you have to sit down and compromise. You have to. This isn't that. You don't have to have Tommy Lauren on your show. Mm-hmm. You can keep playing her clips and going and being like, this is why she's a bad person and a bad, why she's bad for the world and bad for America and race relations and all this other shit. You don't have to give her a platform or put her on your show or legitimize her. And I know people say she wasn't legitimized via there. I was hopeful that wouldn't be true as well, but I had to come around because honestly I saw people that would not have written about her writing about her specifically because she was interviewed by Trevor Noah. That is being legitimized. That's what's happening when you go Tommy Lauren and you present her as just a person with just an interesting point of view. All of a sudden it's like, oh, she went from fringe, radioactive, don't touch this woman, she's a loose cannon of racism and bigotry, to, oh, well, maybe, you know, she's just an interesting person. Let's interview her. Let's talk about her. So it did legitimize her to have her on his platform. And even with Maddow and Tucker Carlson and Pat Buchanan, those are also people that I would say, yeah, you shouldn't do that. Now, they had a lot less choice if you're going to keep it 100. Those people were employed by her network. So it wasn't like she could necessarily avoid having them on her show necessarily. Like, once again, like I said, it's almost like being a quarterback. You know, the Rachel Maddow show wasn't always the Rachel Maddow show it is today. So I'm sure there were times where it was like, yo, you need to have this person on so you could do this and that and the other. Even while disagreeing, you know, I'm trying to remember if Rachel was always out, because I feel like that was a moment in the show too where she like officially came out. So I don't know that this is the same, to be honest, man. Like you said, you knew we were gonna probably disagree, and you knew you were in the minority of opinion on this. But I think that you don't have to take it to the extra level of kicking it afterwards. Same thing with people that were annoyed by Bill O'Reilly.
Somebody said she was always out.
Oh, she was okay. All right, cool. I couldn't remember. Know, baby. Was it? What am I thinking about? Anderson Cooper, maybe?
Yeah, now Anderson Cooper. Yes, he eventually came. He wasn't always out.
Yeah, I just remember somebody that people used to talk about, like they gay, and it's like, all right, calm down, bro. They ain't said it or not. Like, it's their opinions, okay. Yeah, their opinions would be valid anyway, right? I mean, it's possible. Nah, they gay, man. They need to just come on out the closet. Like, people always do that with people they think are genderqueer. They need to just come on out the closet. Like, man, you don't know them motherfuckers, man. You don't know what their life is like, any of that. But yeah, so, he said, that's it. I know I'm gonna get that read on Saturday, but hey, we agree to disagree. Have a good weekend, everyone. I don't feel like you got read. I'm not. Mm-mm. No, I'm not here to call you names or whatever. I think,
oh, no.
But that's what I said, man. A lot of this week has shown me how anti-black people can be while being quote unquote pro-black, where it's just like, throw this motherfucker in the trash, Coon Sambo, Uncle Tom. It's like, why are you so quick to rush to that?
Right.
Like, what is
you
it within?
You can't throw everybody off the boat.
Yeah, what is it within you that is that way about black people that don't fit into what you feel is best for blackness? And not, and I'm, like I said, this is excusing the, there are people out there that literally are just abusive and troll towards black people. Mm-hmm. There are people like that. What is it in you that made you want to be like that with everybody? Like, oh, me and so-and-so disagree on this thing? Fuck them, Uncle Tom. I never liked you, nigga. Like, it's something in you that made you get power from being that way towards other black people. So it makes me wonder. I don't feel that way about Trevor. No, I don't feel that way about your comments. We just disagree. I do feel like you added a little bit of a narrative there with this happens all the time with Trevor Noah when it doesn't. And he doesn't go on Twitter and talk about it. And he doesn't do interviews around it. We, like, at this point, you can't, I think it's a bit of a denial to act like this is common for him. This is a first. Maybe it will become common. He ain't just went on like the Breakfast Club the next day to defend his interviews. He ain't did that. He ain't wrote New York Times pieces to defend his interviews before this. He ain't had to go and explain exchange tweets with his people. He's not done this. This is new. I don't think recognizing that is like, just because I can recognize that it's new doesn't necessarily mean that I'm now calling him out of his name or some shit. It's definitely a line he has crossed. And that's why it's garnered so much attention. Feels like people want to say it's just the same old when it's not. And people are noticing it, and that's why he's going to probably get better ratings. He's going to get more press. He's going to, you know, the things that, cause I think his book has even been out for a while. People are telling me they've been reading it. So, you know, the fact that he's promoting his book again and shit and getting on interviews that he wasn't getting before and doing press he wasn't doing before, it's new, it's something different. It's not just what he always does. Courtney says, I think they can bring whoever they want on the show, but he should have definitely considered the optics. However, I don't think the conversation they had was productive. Let's stop acting like talking about issues is the same as solving them. Yeah, I hear you, Courtney. And yeah, I don't know. Yeah, I don't, even if they would have had a great conversation, I don't think it goes anywhere towards solving racism, because it's just two people talking, no matter how you view it.
Right, and two people that aren't any position of power, any position of authority and shit like that, because like you say, when it comes to the Congress and the Senate and the government, y'all got to compromise. That's completely different than two random people just randomly talking and on a random day on TV. Shit ain't gonna change.
Of course, we had episode 1338, Mudia, The Diary of a Mad Cow, and we had some comments. Mira Nirvana says, I'm still at the beginning of the show. The deplorable troll that's going back and forth with Rod is hilarious. Shaking my head, LOL at your wife. Dude, you can't possibly be a fan. Hey, Karen.
Hey, baby.
Max says, I think your troll will still troll. He just won't troll y'all anymore. His boss was caping for him and exploring just to find out how far you're willing to push it. That's some trash. It seems your show has some profanity. Actors curse in movies, but the law doesn't let you just roll up on them and harass them.
Come on.
2 days of Karen spitting hot fire back to back. Yesterday she was killing them with the empathy and sympathy. Today she spit those Obamacare bars. Y'all keep your heads up and hold on. Yeah, we good, Matt. Thank you. Clara says, love y'all's so definitely not getting married Jagged Edge remix. During white people news, Karen, your verses were particularly fire. You and your husband were hilarious. Wink. LOL. Hashtag big fan, but really, Karen really had me rolling. Hiroja Shibe says, I do not know which version of Rod's pettiness I like most. plain old Petty Rod. Petty Rod the Troll Slayer. Petty Rod on detective mode, a la Batman Arkham game, the Troll Annihilator. I just can't decide. It's like deciding which version of Mario Kart game to play. They're all great. Decisions, decisions. I have to go with Petty Rod on detective mod. If you can be Batman, be Batman. One final thing. Left this comment late Friday night. Feedback show is on Saturday. John Glenn died on Thursday. Are Karen and Rod going to give us another edition of Who's This White Person? Because that would be awesome. Have a great Saturday. I think everybody knows John Glenn was an astronaut that was on the moon and shit. You know, big death for the world. You know, I know he's old, so it's not as quote unquote tragic to a lot of people, but you know, big time. Will that troll lead the show alone? Yes, he learned his lesson and will let it go. 26%. No, he'll be back. 74%. Wow. Cavadonna says, when you come for the king, you best not miss. And when you come for the queen, don't call her. You get the idea. I do love the troll. I do love that the troll is begging like post Paula Patterson Robin Thicke. I hope that troll took his L and learned that the black guy who tips ain't nothing to fuck with. Peace. Thanks, Cappadonna. Peace. And let's see, we had another one. Negan's Black Wife. We had Miss Smarter, Whiskey, Wine, and Moonshine on, and we recapped The Walking Dead. Got some comments. Lucked Out left the first comment, says there were a lot of callbacks in this episode. I think the big herd the Saviors are redirecting is the same herd that Rick sent their way. It was the direction that Daryl, Sasha, and Abe encountered the Saviors the first time. That's true. It could be. The sign that gun enthusiasts and the note the prepper left reminded me of a previous season where people left messages before being zombified, like the hang dude with the rhyme, got bit, fever hit, world gone to shit, might as well quit. Yeah, that was they do that sometimes. Yeah. A benefit of being in the boondocks is a higher concentration of doomsday preppers, and you hope die early. It's like an RPG where you have to solve their puzzles to win the loot. Yeah, it was another thing that reminded me, I want to say it was like when the governor was looking for a place and there were signs that were like talking about killing rapists and shit. I remember that. Like, they did used to have more notes in this world and warnings and stuff. Yeah, that was kind of a throwback with Rick and Aaron. When Daryl saw Carl was in the same room with the wives, he got real agitated. He might have been having flashbacks of the claimers and the guy who tried to rape Carl, calling Carl adorable, playing mind games and showing him around. It all comes off as predatory, so it's not that far of a jump to assume within the context of that room. I don't know. Do you feel like Daryl thought Negan was gonna sexually assault Carl or something? Mm-mm. Yeah, it didn't seem that way to me.
He thought he was gonna fuck him up, not sexually, but just actually kill him, or like actually just physically harm him.
Yeah, it felt more like Daryl was trying to like he just wasn't comfortable with him having Carl around no matter what.
Right.
But I didn't think,
like, you can fuck me up, but just leave him alone.
Yeah, I didn't feel like, and Daryl should be worried about Carl because Daryl's the situation he's in, and he got Glenn killed because he swung on Ian. And Carl came and killed two dudes, you know. But I didn't feel like it was a sexual predatory thing, because also we know, and you know, obviously put it in quotes, but we know Negan's not for rape, quote unquote. He's for, you can't eat unless you let me have sex with you and marry me. But, you know, he's not for, quote unquote, rape, quote unquote. So I don't know. I didn't get that feeling from Negan that he was going to do something to Carl like the claimer dudes were. That was just straight up sexual assault.
Yes, sir.
Since the episode jumped around between people, different things could be happening at the same time. So when Michonne asked to be taken to Negan, I'm going to laugh if the woman drives her to Alexandria, all that work for nothing. Maybe. I don't know how that woman would know he's in Alexandria. And also, I think Michonne would know they were driving towards Alexandria if she started doing that. So it would take a long time.
That's where she came from.
Yeah, it would be a pretty short time to be like, you're driving towards where I live. What are you doing? You know. All right. Doom Dragon says, leaked script of episode 8, Walking Dead season 7. Tara, you have to understand, Heath, there's nothing to understand. Tara, there is every chance neither of us would have made it out alive. Heath, you should have given me the choice. I could have been the only man in the midst of dozens of horny women on Oceanside, but no, you had to go spoil everything by running away. End scene. Another great podcast, guys. I think it's one of Negan's mind games, that with the key and the note in Daryl's cell. I have a hope that they do a real twist and have Rick and the crew come at Negan as the Whisperers. That would be a big ass twist. You know what's interesting though? I would be actually shocked if that's a mind game Negan's playing on Daryl by giving him the key and the match and the note. Like, to me, it's like, why would you do that? He thinks he has him about broken, you know. I don't know, it'd be interesting. I don't and he's leaving.
Mm-hmm. Yep, I definitely don't think it's him.
Yeah, we know he left, so he's in Alexandria right now.
Yeah, it can only be three people.
Yeah, Michonne and the gut smearing cloak of zombie invisibility is already halfway there. This time next week with draw symptoms, have a good one, guys. Yeah, I know, I'm not looking forward to that Doom Dragon. Mm-hmm. Who do you say it can only be three people? Who do you think? Jesus?
Yeah, Jesus, Dwight's girlfriend, ex-wife. Okay. I don't, like, it may be somebody else, like Fat Joe or somebody like that.
Fat Joey.
Yeah, but other than that, most of them people, I don't see nobody else actually, at least if it's another character, they haven't showed a motive for them doing it yet.
I feel it. Amani says, what if Michonne wants to go to Negan so she can get some of that hair product the savers have been stockpiling? She was mad about that burn mattress, about the burn mattresses, but if he took her shea butter for his black wife, that's a fight he don't want. Oh, maybe that's how he gets supplies. He wouldn't got that shea butter from, for his black wife.
Who knows?
And I really need Rosita's one bullet to be for Spencer. Even Gabriel is tired of his shit.
Yeah, and Gabriel has the patience, but yeah, he fed up too. He's like, you know what?
Anthony Animal Thug Tatum says, man, this is why I love this show. I noticed that black wife right off the bat. I bet she got all the bonnets in there too. Mm-hmm.
Keep her head tied up. What you talking about?
And the poll was, why do you think Charlamagne met Tommy Lauren? Because he said it was to inform her about Black Lives Matter and how she was wrong. To convince her to not be ignorant about Black Lives Matter, which is what he said his reasoning was, in all fairness, and for the clicks on social media. 100% of y'all said for the clicks on social media, meaning 0% of y'all believe he actually met with her to talk about Black Lives Matter. And yeah, and in the day, and in the Breakfast Club interview with Trevor Noah, he even goes on to say something about how, like, all of a sudden we just was walking from building to building. We wasn't really, you know, I work in this building, I live in that building, that's all it was. So then it went from, like, it wasn't even a meeting to talk about anything, you know? Evie says, honestly, I think he wanted to smash. He is a coon of the most epic proportions. He'd probably let her call him the N-word while hitting it. Damn, Evie, you went in. Yeah.
What's wrong with people?
Yeah, it's funny. Everybody's going to the they trying to fuck thing, which I don't think it was about that.
Mm-mm.
I just think it was about the fact that she's a bigger star celebrity than them, and this doesn't take much for black dudes to kind of opt out of blackness to get that shine. They don't care if it's a racist white girl.
No.
She got millions and millions. I mean, they both were talking about how many millions of views and clicks and shit she gets. So they knew. They're well aware of the fact that this is good for them on both formats.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and she flaked out on the interview for the Breakfast Club. But, you know, that doesn't mean you can't get that picture together. You know, I feel like that conversation went, yeah, I'm not going to do y'all's show. I don't want to be on the Breakfast Club. And then Charlamagne, well, can you at least take a picture with me? I think that's how that went.
Of course that's how that went. He already knew she wasn't going to be on the show.
And then he couldn't wait to go on Twitter and use her as a cudgel against black women. It's pretty.
Yeah, it's all of us just history repeating itself. And it's just funny how people fail to realize a lot of black men use white women to beat black women into submission about their blackness all the time, and then when it's called out, you're the problem when you use this white woman to beat black women across the head about their blackness.
Mm-hmm. Maya B left a comment on episode 1340 going off that white girl, where we had DJ Ben Amin of the Fan Bro show on to discuss his book The World Is Yours. Maya B says, I'm a big nerd, so the celebrities I met are like book and comic book writers. This past summer I met Mejuri Leo. She writes Monstrous. I read Monstrous and some old X-Men books. Monstrous is so good. Meg Cabot, or is it Cabot? I don't know. The only white woman writer I would willingly read. She wrote The Princess Diaries. Jean Leon Yang, who writes Superman currently. Last year or so I met Tim Steele. He writes Hackslash, Grayson, and Revival at a con. However, my mama did meet her white bays, the Property Brothers, this summer as well, and chased my ass down so I could post it on her Facebook. Oh, and I was in the pit at a Morris Day concert, so I got to see him sweat up his process up close and personal.
Yes, Property Brothers and Morris Day too.
Where they at says, I can't help but wonder if Willie D will have volume 3 ready by the time y'all get back on the air. This has been quite a week. Ha! Yeah, Lee Daniels, Charlemagne, Trevor. Yeah, I can see him throwing out everybody in there. You know, Willie don't give a fuck. I do want to know what the third volume gonna be. Maybe it's gonna be a Christmas song. EVE says, Charlemagne has been his own donkey of the day for years. He's a troll hobgoblin. Anthony Tatum says, Animal Thug says, I could not have agreed more with Ben's comment on Trevor Noah. That dude is lame as fuck. I watched that Netflix special because people raved about it. This dude pissed me off with his commentary on the black community in America that he clearly knew nothing about. It was black jokes about black people for white people, but with a white point of view. Not cool, bro. Thank you for the excellent episode. In the coming years, I'm aware that my black rage will make my headphones increase in size to mute out the white noise and keep the blackness in. Black Power Fist. I love y'all. Anthony Animal Thug Tatum Senior. All right, Animal Thug, you know, like I said, I'm not really looking for what do you call it. I think a lot of people are kind of trying to get like a what's the exact word I'm looking for, a uniformity of opinion on this shit. Now, I recognize different black people gonna feel different ways. I haven't seen his stand-up special for what it's worth, so you know, and partially because I've heard shit where people are like, yeah man, I didn't like how it went and he did this and he made that joke and fuck that shit. So part of me is like, I don't know, now y'all are talking me out of even seeing this shit, so y'all got it, you know what I mean? So we'll see from there. Have you ever met a celebrity? Yes or no? Yes, 75% of y'all have. No, 25% of y'all haven't. Anthony Animal Thug Tatum says, I work in downtown Cleveland next to one of the luxury hotels. I've met Britney Spears, Deborah Harry, Allen Houston, Shane Battier, Tim Duncan, I'll Be Sure, Bone, RZA, Ghostface Killer, Shaq, Penny Hardaway. I had to poop real bad, but my best friend loved him, so I had to get her an autograph, so I risked my humanity for the greater good. But Gary Payton was by far the coolest. I know I met more, but I have been at my job for 15 or so some might have slipped my mind. I really just say hello and keep it moving unless it's someone I'm a big fan of. There you go. And then we got some voicemails. Let me see if I can play these. We actually got a lot this week. Let me figure out the date on these so I won't be playing the old ones. So last time was the 3rd. So pretty much everything after the 3rd we can play. Right? Yeah, that sounds right. Damn, we actually got a lot of these. Shit. Okay. All right, let's see if we can get through these.
Yo, what's up, man? I wanted to go see.
Oh, this dude was drunk. I don't know what the fuck was wrong with him. He was like, I got your card or some shit. It was like 4 in the morning. I'm not playing that shit.
Okay. Hey, Karen. Hey, Rod. This is 10F10 on Twitter. I can never get you guys on Crowdcast. I think Crowdcast hates me. Anyway, I just wanted to say how much I love you. I love both of you. But Karen, I mean, come on. The goddess of all goddesses. I mean, it's Beyonce, Karen, then maybe me. I don't know. Anyway, I just want to let you know that I do love you guys, and there's lots of light and love out here for you. F all them other haters. Well, it's your voice, Miss. Well, fuck all them other haters. And fuck that white dude. Fuck him. Just take all the seats and sit the fuck down. Anyway, that's it. Love you guys. Bye.
Thank you. And Karen, I just realized you're not sucking on that, are you? The thermos thing. Mm-hmm. Yeah, you should probably be drinking out of it like a cup so that you won't dislodge. Just make sure there's no suction going, because if you dislodge the blood clot thing, you'll have to put the gauze back in. All right.
I won't do that.
Mm-mm. Yeah, I know. You don't want to have to take it back to the old school.
No.
But thank you for your voicemail. Sorry, got a little distracted there, but thank you for your voicemail.
Thank you, baby. And the first person, please call back when you're not drunk, please.
Or don't worry about it. We have many, many voicemails. We'll be fine. next voicemail. So many this week.
Hi, Rod. And Karen. This is at number one feeling from Twitter. It has been almost a year. In about 2 weeks, it'll be a year since I came across your podcast. And I just wanted to call to say that I'm so thankful for you guys. I am living in the UK right now. I've been living here for 6 years, and your podcast has helped me with so much. It's been hard leaving my friends and family to move over here. And yeah, I just wanted to let you guys know that I appreciate you. I have love for you, even though I don't know you. I feel a warmth in my heart for you, and you bring me a lot of joy.
Thank you, baby.
And keep me company. I work a lot by myself, a student and assistant lecturer, a PhD student and assistant lecturer at the same time. So I'm home a lot if I'm not at university. So being by myself just can be hard sometimes, and you guys keep me connected to the U.S. And inform me. You change my mind. You expand my mind. And I just want to make sure that, you know, I'm not one of those people who's like silently appreciating you and don't give you your roses when you when you can appreciate them. So there you go. I got a dozen for you. Love you guys. Continue to shine. Bye.
Aww.
Thank you, baby. And you be safe over there at the university.
I always wonder, like, because I'll go to bed sometimes. I wake up and then she'll have like 3 or 4 just comments overnight. Well, I was like, man, she must wait till like 4 in the morning to be like, oh, let's see what Rod was talking about today.
I'd be forgetting y'all different time zones, some of y'all.
Well, it explains the mystery now. It's right. Like, oh, okay, you're in a different time zone. Cause it's like, I would just wake up and it would be like, you know, I tweeted this hours ago, but it would, you know, it'd be something funny or relevant or whatever. But I would just be like, oh, well, okay. You know, maybe she just work at night. I don't know.
Yeah, I had to get used to Wonga, because Wonga like a day ahead of us. We put that shit. He'd be like, Saturday morning. I'm like, nigga, it's Friday. What are we talking about?
Right.
Oh, yeah, I forgot. You tomorrow here.
Mm-hmm. All right, next voicemail.
Hello. Hi, Rod. Hi, Karen. This is Rue. I'm from Texas. Yeah, I said it. I just heard your last, the saga of the great troll of 2016 that you shared with us after this last podcast on tonight. I'm listening, and I'm a listener from Bomani Jones, but first time listening, thought to call in. So I'm going to just say this. I'm from Houston. Not from where this dude is from, but fuck a Terrell. Fuck a Dallas. We fucking hate Dallas. Eh, Austin, we want to be like Austin, but whatever. We don't get Austin just yet. But I'm just going to say this. I'm going to stick up for my state. And I'm going to say I'm from Houston, and my county carried Hillary. So I'm going to hold my head up. And when I say I'm from Houston, yeah, I said it. But this trolling dude and this lawyer, Rental Saul, Better Call Saul, Rental Lawyer, dumbass. I'm just going to say it again. Fuck a Terrell. And fuck Dallas, because this is what happened and this is what's happening. I refuse. I just want to stick up for my state, although I'm pretty much claiming Scandinavian when I do travel, go back to Canada this year, next year. Even though I'm not. I'm caramel and I have big natural hair. But I'm Scandinavian for, you know. But I'm sticking up for it just to say, you took the high road. This, I'm calling after the dude heard him, and he called, emailed you back saying, we got this. I'm sorry about that, my bad. And I just want to say, y'all did right, but I come from where I will come see you. What's your IP address? And you didn't do it, but you could. And yay for y'all, but fuck a Terrell. Fuck a Dallas. And do better, guy. Okay, bye. But thank you so much. And I'm going to go back to listening and go to sleep on your podcast. Thank you. And we I love you both. Okay, bye-bye.
Thank you.
Yeah, thank you. And yeah, I didn't feel like he was repping Texas, you know.
I know she wanted distinguished. She was like, hey, I'm just letting you know.
Yeah, we have just as much a problematic state
as y'all right now. So we going neck for neck, dog.
And as far as the representation of him being from Texas or whatever, it's cool. Like, I don't put that shit on all Texans or whatever. You know, dude was just a troll, and you know, that's the end of that chapter. All right, let's go to the next one. Oh, thank you for calling in.
Thank you, baby.
See you next one.
Hey, yo, what up, Rod and Karen? This is your boy Melvin out here in Arizona. Trump's America. Look, man, I'm one of those people yesterday listening to the show, and I was like, get him when that doggone critter get him, sit there and try to harass my boy and y'all on the radio, man. I tell you, it's like you say, man, when Mary J. Blige's going through it, or people got issues in their life, you know you about to have some entertaining ass podcasting, man. I love what y'all do. Y'all hold it down. Keep doing what you do, fam. And sometimes you gotta get in their ass, dog. Just gotta do what you gotta do. Y'all keep holding it down, man, and I'll keep listening. Peace.
Thank you, baby.
You know, I hadn't thought about that. To some people, that is like us going through something is like they Eminem getting on drugs or something. Like, I hate that you getting fucked with, but I'm glad you getting fucked with, because it's gonna be some good podcasting. You know, never even thought about that. All right, next voicemail.
Richard! Oh my god, it's Iman. Oh my god, nostalgia overload. I was listening to the feedback show this morning and getting my daughter ready for school. And of course she was having trouble waking up, but she's five. But oh my god, I was so mad at myself. I was like, oh my god, I really need to try to join the chat group because I would have won all the prizes. I'm like, how do I join the chat group? My husband tried to teach me how to join once, and I downloaded an app. I think I forgot what the name of the app was. So I'll send you an email so maybe you guys could walk me through it again, because it wasn't working when I was tried to join the last time, and I guess none of my messages would show up, so I just deleted the app. But oh my god, it's like when y'all play Silk the Shocker, it ain't my fault. It took me right back to junior high school and being in the girls' locker room, and we just get all hype and rowdy for no reason and just start singing it. Someone would start singing it, and we go, did I do that? It ain't my fault. Did I do that? Okay. But, oh my god. And I started dancing, and my daughter, she was like so embarrassed. She's like, please stop. We're at home, but she's still embarrassed. So it was like, you're five. Why are you, how can you be embarrassed by me already? But all right. But thank you guys for that. Oh man, that just, it really started my day off right. I'm just so hyped now and just really feeling good. Thank you. Love you guys. Bye.
Oh man. Okay. Thank you, Amon. I think what happened is we got our wires crossed a little bit. When you say you want to join the chat group, I actually just added her to the Facebook group, which is now closed and private. Mm-hmm. But I think what she meant was she wants to be in the Crowdcast.
Right.
The only thing for the Crowdcast is that I send out a link via Facebook and Twitter. Mm-hmm. And you click on it, you can join. There's also an app on iPhone and Android, I believe. Mm-hmm. Where you can, it's called Crowdcast. I think it has no A in the cast. It's Crowd, CST. you, and then you can follow us and you'll get notifications whenever we're about to go live and let you know, hey, they're going live. If you guys have been looking at the live crowdcast, we almost always do like a 30 minute music, like intro thing, like a warm up where we're just getting, I'm just playing music and getting our articles and stuff ready. And then we start the show. So, in those cases, you know, even if you get the email, you still basically have normally about 30 minutes to get in there, and hang out with us.
And in the app, if you allow it to push, it will actually push and let you know through the app that we're live too. So if you have push notifications, the app will push.
So yeah, we gave away a bunch of free shit last week. And we've mailed out everybody's stuff. So everybody should be getting it soon.
Stuff's in the mail.
Yeah, some people's stuff I mailed last week, some I mailed this week. Everybody's stuff should be coming soon. Hey, take pictures, post it on social media, tag us to it. I hope you guys enjoy it. Also, I meant to mention we got some stuff in the mail. From Ronnie, who sent us some candles that we had on our wish list. A Dutch oven, y'all. A 5-quart gradient blue Dutch oven that when we moved, we had to throw away a lot of stuff because, you know, you go through your stuff. And one of the things we threw away was our brown Dutch oven.
We had it for years.
Yeah, which I like to, for stews and stuff like that. You know, it's a little quicker than a crock pot. So we just put this on the list. Some of the stuff we put on the list, I don't expect to get, you know, and it's cool. And then he also got the Hateful Eight. So he sent us all this stuff, and I think Ronnie just either emailed or DM me or something and just was like, hey, I've been listening to the show for a long time, I'd like to put in on it. And boom, that's what we got. So thank you so much.
Thank you baby.
Yeah,
so you've been thinking about us because we got the list up. We started it a year or two ago because somebody asked.
People were asking. Somebody asked today,
right?
So we got to go through and add some stuff to the list because I know people like celebrating the holidays by sending us stuff, and we love getting it. And like I said, we're still taking people's addresses. Email us theblackoutist@gmail.com. Email us your mailing address, we'll mail you a card
because
we got some well, really, they're Kwanzaa cards, okay guys, but we got some cards. We will mail you guys, okay? Let me go to the next session real quick, Karen, and then we'll come right back, okay? All right, start that bad boy up.
And thank you for thinking about us, because that meant a lot, sweet. And it was hilarious when we got the Dutch oven. Yeah, because I didn't know what a Dutch oven was for a really long time. I found out what a Dutch oven was, and I was mad because I kept watching like the cooking channel and going online, and they'd be like, give all these elaborate instructions, and they'd be like, well, you need a Dutch oven. I would kept saying, I ain't got no special Dutch oven. I got a regular ass oven. You set it at 350. What the fuck is this Dutch oven? Come to find out, it's nothing but a fucking pot. And so once I found that out, changed my world, and I like it because you can actually cook in. It's almost like a cast iron type of thing, because you can cook in it, fry in it, do all kinds of shit in it. And so it was hilarious because, like I said, I just had operation, so when I seen it, it was hilarious. I kind of did like a mute scream because I wanted to scream, but I couldn't because it hurt too much.
Yeah, thank you so much.
So I thank you.
Yeah, we'll add, I'll update the list. Somebody's literally asking about it right now on Twitter, so I'll make sure to update it with more options.
We will. Thank you.
All right, let's get to the next voicemail. Let's see here. I think it's this one, so play.
Hi, Black Guys Who Tips. This is Moms, at Moms Who Drag with Swag, and aka Sierra J. I just wanted to call to first tell you guys that I love you guys. Your podcast is amazing. All about black love. I'm here for it. And to tell you that I love the episode Negan's Black Wife. I just want to say, we want to talk about who's running the point system. The black woman is running the point system. If you notice in that scene, she was the only woman only black woman, voluptuous, beautiful woman with a head full of Indian Remy Bohemian hair and a notebook. Had that old need notebook writing down that point system. She the one that's taking the points. That's why she the baddest bitch on the block. Sherry thinks she the baddest bitch, but no. The beautiful black woman is the baddest bitch on the block. And you notice she the only one that's wearing the latest lingerie. Now let's keep it real. Let's keep it 100% real. You know she the only one that's throwing that shit back in his ass and the only one that's keeping the numbers, because you know black girls know how to budget, because you know we got to get the groceries, pay the bills, pay the rent, and make sure we got them bundles in our hair for when we go to the ball on Friday or Thirsty Thursdays. You know that. So let's give a shout out to her, because she's the real goddamn MVP. She's been keeping it safe since day one. She's probably the one who, when he first came, was like, I don't know about y'all, but this nigga's gonna be something. So I'm gonna be right over here with him, sucking and fucking and getting this money. Because a black woman know how to survive. Struggling and surviving. Good times. But I just wanna say I love you guys. This episode was funny as fuck. Carl I was gross as fuck. I laughed when Negan laughed because the shit was funny. And we forgot that Carl was a little kid. It wasn't until he cried that I was like, oh, I forgot you're a little ass boy. But anyway, I love you guys. This show was funny as shit. And let's give it up to the real MVP keeping the point system. The point system person, the person who is the master of the points, the Gensu Han Solo of the points, is voluptuous ass black women with the triple E titties.
She was sexy as
fuck. She was. You guys have a great day.
Thank you, baby. Yes. She was sexy as fuck. That's for real. And yeah, that makes sense. She would be running the numbers. She had a notebook, you know.
Old school ink pen.
She wouldn't even, I love that she wasn't even paying Negan no mind when he came in tripping. She was like, he go again. Anyway, girl, so like I was saying, you know, Amber fucking Mark. All right, next voicemail, I think, is also from her.
Hey again, this is Sierra J, aka at Mom's Drag with Swag. Mom's Drag with Swag. I just have one more thing to say, and I'm sorry that I'm slurring because I've been sipping some Chardonnay. So I would just want to let you know, for the sister who sent the email about who's doing her installs, you know damn well that black woman is doing her install. That woman look like a Howard University graduate. She look like a HBCU graduate. And you know when shit get rough in college, we do our own sewing. That's how we all learn. We learn to do our own installs and our own sewing. You know she sew. You know she sewing her own shit in. You know she keep that shit laid, fried out, laid to the side. And she probably 100% natural. You know she probably still got the only ceramic curling iron that's pressing them edges out. She was a bad bitch. A bad brown bitch. I just want to say that. And I'm a bisexual woman and I'm all about them too. Just to let you know. Y'all have a great day. Bye-bye.
I'll say this, man.
Remember them HBCU days.
I'm all about them titties as well. So we have that in common. But, yeah, she definitely did her own hair. I can't imagine anybody else in there touching that, you know, hair and getting it right. Let's just say the rest of them ladies in there look like some Beckys, okay? They wouldn't even dress right.
She had them gold, them shit that'll fry your hair out, your hair touch it.
So, but yeah, thank you so much, for calling in. And last voicemail, here we go.
Yo, what's good? What's good? Yo, I only called, you know, I'm gonna try to make this, quick. I know I got 3 minutes, so here I go. Yo, real quick, man, I called before, you know what I'm saying? It's your boy right here, a fan from the Bronx, now live in Connecticut or whatnot. But anyway, I ain't trying to give away too much of my information. You know what I'm saying? But I just wanted to, like, touch on that thing, what happened that you and wifey had to endure or whatnot the other week or whatnot. With the white dude calling, I mean, I don't mean to point out the race, but it is what it is. The white dude calling with some, you know, calling you with some hatred, voicemails and all of that stuff. You know, want to act all a different way and tough guy and all that stuff over the internet, and you checked them on your stuff, which I thought was extremely funny, because that's something I would have did. Like, I would have kept on going into it. Like, you know, they threw something on there that they didn't mean to, whatever name, whatever, sometimes address, whatever. too much information. But, you know, when you contacted his job and all that, I was like, I was like all in. Like, I was watching, like, I was just listening to an action-packed movie or whatnot. I'm just like, yo, this guy got caught. Like, wow, now he tried to cop a plea in the most the most dumbest ways. Like, he tried to come at you like he was an attorney and all this stuff. Like, that was so transparent. Like, yo, who can't see through anything like that? Like, why would your attorney be so interested into your, like, come on, like, into your specific case and trying to, like, basically play that reverse psychology on you as you, and, you know what I mean? Like, you wasn't, like, intellectual all on your own or whatnot to figure him out, like, from the start. Like, come on, man, that guy can't be too bright. And I did hear you mention that he probably just had a high school education or whatnot. No shade on nobody else, but, you know, come on, man. This guy, he was just so predictable and whatnot. But then he tried to, you know, try to diss you afterwards, even though you didn't want to, you know, you didn't want to give in to what, you know, all his, you know, all his demands and whatnot as far as deleting the thing or whatnot. But like I said, you handled it correctly. But me personally, I would have been petty to the fullest. I would have went in. As long as I know he's all the way out there in Texas or whatever the case is, I'm like, all right, I'm good. I'm so many miles away from him. I would have went in on this guy with his job and all that. Like, I probably would have went in. As long as I know he ain't got no information on me, I would have went in. But you handled it right, man. So keep it up, man. You know what I'm saying? I hope y'all don't have to go through anything like that. Yeah, peace.
Thank you,
baby.
Yeah, and I definitely didn't want to, I didn't want to go all the way in, to be honest. And I know we could have went, it could have been bad, man. You know, yeah, it could have been bad. I'm glad we didn't, and I didn't want to do that. And I don't want our audience to partake in shit like that either.
Yeah, because truthfully, we said it before, but we have seen what happens when people have audiences that do that, and it's not that that's not the group of people you want to be around.
Right. So, yeah, I didn't. The point I was making when it came to the whole thing about his high school education was, it was on the pregame. I was talking to Justin about it, and I was like, I know people that would have went in on like, oh, you only got a high school education. I said, but one of the things about being angry is that people start to lose their nuance. And the nuance of the matter, like the fact of the matter is, we have fans. I have people I love, stuff like that, that have high school education. I said, and when you say shit like that, you can't separate it from what the fuck your intentions were. So like, you go, yeah, you only got high school education. I said, and then you end up hurting someone else's feelings, you know? So I was like, that's why it's about knowing what you can say and what not to say, because, you know, a lot of times it's bigger than just the person you're talking to. Mm-hmm. So that's where that came into play. Cause I honestly wouldn't bring something like that up, even if I thought it would hurt his feelings. It's like, but I know too many people that, you know, just they deal with that on a day to day basis, and I'm not better than them. You know what I mean? Also let me, go on to say that, normally don't do this on feedback shows, but today's show, is actually sponsored, since we're doing it on a Sunday. Mm-hmm. Where we normally do have a sponsor. Shadow Dog Productions is sponsoring this show, and these emails about to come up, sponsored by Shadow Dog Productions. Of course, we have some short horror stories that are out there that you might have heard about. Mm-hmm. They're basically me and Karen, we play black people in horror movies and horror situations. Mm-hmm. It came from an idea that we started, and it's called joke. Yeah, as a joke, and it's called Short Horror, is the name of the series, and I believe it's on the All Your Nightmares album that they have for Shadow Dog. And yeah, check it out, because it's us basically dealing with shit like vampires and haunted houses and shit. But
it is hilarious, and they short.
Yeah,
you know, niggas ain't gonna be around but for so long when she get the cracking off.
Yep, doesn't take long for you. Mm-hmm. Like, okay, we out. So
grand opening, grand closing.
Yep. So with that being said, let's check out the emails that we got this week. Oh, got quite a few. Yeah, it's turned out to be a longer show than I thought it would be. Caritha says, dear Rod and Karen, because I'm nerdier than most, I'm going to tell you stuff you don't need to know and didn't ask about. I love the show and will continue to be a premium supporter. However, I'm very squeamish, so I always skip the recast of The Walking Dead. It confused me that some people only discover the show because you recap that stuff. Also, well, just imagine it was a show you did like. Think about it. Like, you wouldn't be confused if it was like, if we was recapping Queen Sugar every week, you'd be like, oh, maybe that some people like Queen Sugar that much. Some people like Walking Dead and they're not squeamish. Also, plus our recaps, like, they not that squeamish because it's not really much to, I mean, it's not like you can physically see it. That's why it's almost safer for people.
Right. A lot of people say they love the recaps, but like, I won't watch the show, but I can keep up. So when my coworkers talk at work, I'm not lost. I know who the characters are.
Right. Our recap would just be like, oh, that nigga, I was fucked up, you know, as opposed
to. You ain't got to see it.
You ain't got to see it. Also, I can't understand how you can stand violent shows like that. I'm praying for you. And yes, I'm being extra. LOL. Well, I'm going to tell you this. As a black man in America, every day I wake up, my life is violent. And my people went through too much for me not to be able to handle the sight of blood. So that's why I do it. All right, next one. 1337. Ah! Tyrone said, slow golf clap. Y'all did that. Old buddy tried the queen and it got handled. Everything is not a game is the realest quote for social media. But you got to make examples out of people in order for them to see some progress. But it's the internet and this is one of many. But on a lighter note, we love Karen and she is everything. Stay up, Rye and Queen Karen.
Thank you, baby.
Thank you, Tyrone. Call him. All right, we have Andrea. Says, hey there, Rod and Karen. I hope this email finds you well. I'll make this short as I'm sure you guys have plenty of emails to get through. I just ran across the attached article on the Griot's website. I immediately Googled to find more information on the topic and was not pleased with the lack of coverage. I'm a native of South Carolina and currently reside in the Midlands area of the state. I can tell you firsthand that this issue is not currently being discussed in the local media and we know why. I'm outraged about the inhumanity of the situation. White people stay trying it. If you feel moved to do so, please share this info on your pod, which I enjoy. Lastly, love your commentary on the Noel, Tommy, Charlemagne bullshit. Keep up the good work. Best, Drea R. So it's about, and I've been seeing a little bit shared about this on social media, but yeah, you're right. I haven't seen anything shared about this on TV and stuff. Gullah Geechee, descendants of slaves fight for their lands. Basically, descendants of slaves in South Carolina, you know, Geechee is a South Carolina thing.
Mm-hmm. Down at Miss Music Lover, that's where she's from.
Right. So there's these slaves that basically were promised land and that is theirs, you know. But now the state is trying to, confiscate the land and auction it off. Even though, 450 years that land has been there since emancipation. Basically it's a situation where kind of like the North Dakota access pipeline and stuff like that, you have people being like, what can we do about this? How can you get people to protest this? How do you get people down here? It's so wild, man, because it feels like everything is such a dumpster fire this year with some of this stuff. And like, with the clock ticking on the Obama presidency, if nothing happens with certain things, I just don't see anything happening good under Trump.
Nope.
So it's almost like, whether you want to or not, you have about 60 days or let's say 45 days to have something said or done about this. And I don't know. And what can you do that won't be repealed or overturned immediately by the new president and his regime, you know? They sold property, the house, all of it. When I offered to pay them a check, they told me I couldn't. I had to get cash money, $880-some that I had to pay them to get my place back. It's like they were saying if I didn't get on the system, I wouldn't have no place to stay. Milton suspects that the heart attack she suffered in January was brought on by the stress of trying to get her home back. And they just took her home. That's it. Your home been sold and you got it because you didn't pay $250 for sewer service. And now we just sold your whole home and you can't get it back, unless you have some money in cash right now. Let's see, many of her friends and neighbors in Jacksonville, is one of the three black communities in Plantersville, South Carolina, face losing their homes in a similar way if they don't pay the tax for a sewer they say they didn't want and didn't need. So someone installed a sewer, not, you know, and then they tax these people, and then they say, you didn't pay the tax, we taking your whole home. Last week, 20 homes were put up for auction. These are all somebody's lives, people's lives. Most residents are direct descendants of West African slaves who bought land on the former rice plantation or were deeded by it by the government after emancipation in 1865. Property ownership has special meaning for those former slaves, known as Gullah Geechee, and the land has been proudly passed down through the generations as a safe haven to raise families and farm. But America's seemingly insatiable appetite for coastal living and the money that can be made from buying up cheap former plantation land is a potential threat. The only people we see are the developers, said Reverend Ben Great, gazing at the empty road that snakes through the Jackson Village. We call them strangers, and we are afraid of them because they come to take your land. They are millionaires in big cars, driving slow, staking out property, dreaming of what it would be like to have a motel on the river right here. With this neat brick built bungalow set back in the, from the roads in their own plots of land and protected from the roar of the highway 701 by a dense forest, Jackson Village feels secure and cushioned against charge, against change. But few residents have their deeds to their homes. The free slaves who originally bought the land were mistrustful of the legal system or excluded from it and did not leave written wills. The land is held in common. The families are entitled to live on it under the heir's property rights, but so are all the descendants of the original owners. Ben Gray estimates that more than a million people spread out across America have a share of land in Plantersville, whether they know it or not.
Damn.
If one of them decides to sell their share of their parents' grandparents' homes, a court can order the entire property to be sold at auction. So although they're living on prime, wow, and you know motherfuckers are probably doing genealogy tracing and trying to find different black people and be like, hey, sell your 1/1000th of this land so that we can put it up for auction and then kick these people out. So although they are living on prime real estate, which sought after for holiday homes, golf courses, and country clubs, they cannot simply sell it up for a fat profit. So also the people actually living there can't just say, I want to sell my home, because of this law is distributed to many people. And you can't track down all them people to give them their money, and you wouldn't get a huge portion of that money once it's split. So yeah, that, wow, man, when they just seizing homes because of property tax and shit. Wow. Yeah, I mean, hopefully people can signal boost it enough that something can be done. Maybe yeah, people can get out there and do the same thing, protest and stuff like that.
Yeah, because that's fucked up. Because, and I've always said this, when has the government ever gone into white people neighborhoods and yanked their shit up without a motherfucking fight?
Yeah. Yeah.
And it being plastered on the news, plastered on, it wouldn't give a damn if it was a goddamn trailer park home. You go into a trailer park home, all them white folks down there and talking about you gonna do anything, they're gonna meet you with some guns and say, no, the fuck you ain't.
It's also because of how we are forced to pass shit down where you have to circumvent the legal system.
Come on.
Like, it's just so fucked up, man. But maybe you can get those veterans. Hey, they said they was heading from where they go from, they went from North Dakota to Ferguson, maybe, or was it Flint? Maybe they'll head there next, maybe.
And they should, because the thing is, dog, don't think just because the government ain't taking your property now, don't think your property ain't next.
Right. Love the show. This is by Leah. She says, hey Rod and Karen, I just wanted to email to say I love your show, gets me through the workday. I emailed before and I sent a video and I think it got swept up in the Bernie storm. I didn't even know who he was until I started listening to your show, lol. Also, I'm a vegan and I live in Charlotte. I know what restaurant you were talking about. I would not suggest that restaurant to someone who was trying vegan for the first time. Remix Salad took me down, lol. If you would like to try vegan again, I suggest ZZ's. It's maybe the closest to vegan soul food in Charlotte, and it's a takeout spot. All right, writing it down.
Okay.
Contrary to popular belief, I will try vegan food again, just not from that place. It's maybe closer to vegan soul food in Charlotte as takeout spot. Atlanta has a soul food place called Solely Vegetarian, I believe. You all seem like good food like me, vegan or no. I hope you like this better, lol.
thank you, babe. We'll try and let you know.
After the harassment from the troll in Texas and likely hotep alkaline diet weirdo, I just want to say this vegan loves your show, respects your personal taste buds, and I want to spread some positivity and say I get through my get through my work day because of you two. And ding dong, the witch is dead, Pat McCrory. Hey, turn up, he gone. Celebrate good time, come on. Karen, I will also be leaving a review on iTunes. Thank you for everything you do. Love you guys, Leah.
Thank you, baby.
Thank you, Leah. Let's see who else. Oh, Shayna writes in. Hey, Rod and Karen. Sending love and time trolling is titled with us. Hey, we're Karen and Rod. Shayna writes, Shayna here, writing in like an absent father who only comes around on your birthday, as usual. But know that I stay listening and appreciating the laughs on my now, longer commute. So when I heard about the most recent troll gate, I had to show y'all some love. Nothing to say about that dude.
Thanks, baby.
Except to send my respect to Rod for being so good at the internet. Sometimes you gotta let a nigga know that just because he spends half his day on the internet doesn't mean he is smarter than you. Anyway, I realized something as I was listening to y'all talk about trolls. I've been listening to your show for a few years now. I definitely understand the theory that the show is bigger, the sponsors are bigger and more numerous, and the two of you have been gaining visibility. But when I listen to the show, it doesn't feel like it. Still feels like I'm at a bar kicking it with Rod and Karen, laughing and talking about the week's going on. That can't be an easy thing considering how big the show has gotten, and it didn't have to be that way. I know y'all did that intentionally, and I for one appreciate it. Oh, thank you.
Thank you, baby.
We do try to keep it familiar, man. I mean, a lot of decisions you have to make for the show, whether it's like even just what you talk about, opinions you have. I know y'all have listened to, we were talking about the read yesterday because mm-hmm. we love to read.
Mm-hmm.
And we were just having to be like, yeah, we understand from a podcaster perspective of how the show had to change for certain shit. You know, I think Crystal was talking about, you know, how people were harassing her because of something right. Charlamagne said. She didn't do anything
mm-mm.
to deserve to be harassed by that. But the point is, back in the day, people were like, well, you would have tweeted about this. Well, now I get paid for my thoughts. So now I don't just give them up for fucking everything.
For free.
Mm-mm. Yeah, like maybe I want to get to a platform where I get paid. Y'all say y'all think black women should be paid for their work. Y'all think black women need to value themselves. Well, now you want me to give away my shit for free. Now it's like if I don't, not that it would ruin her to come out against Charlamagne, but the idea is some people were trying to promote it that way. So you're basically saying if I don't quote unquote ruin my chances of working on TV, then I'm not real. You know, like it's little shit like that where you have to watch because a few years ago it wouldn't have been that way. You know what I mean? Like, and The Read was one of those shows that blew up really fast, but even then, back when they first started, it would have been more like, if she would have decided to go in or not go in, the pressure wouldn't have been on her that way. It wouldn't right. have been like, you are now representative of all black women and you have to say what we want you to say.
It'd have been just her opinion, because that's the thing, like most podcasters that's been doing anything for an extent podcast for a period of time, you grow, you evolve, you change, right. your audience grows, your audience evolves, they change. Like, that's just a part of being a podcaster.
Yeah, and they're like, I'm just using them as example because we talked right. about them yesterday, mm-hmm. but you know, there's a lot of shows, I think when people start off, you're a little meaner. I don't think we were necessarily one of those shows, but you're a little meaner because the internet and because the conversation you're having is, you feel almost private and like not a lot of people are listening. So you can say, man, fuck so and so. But then you realize like, oh, now that my show's getting bigger, so and so might hear what I have to say about them. And I don't really feel that much animosity towards them right. or, I can say something mean about somebody because I can't relate to the idea that they got harassed on Twitter and that's why they ended up saying some out of pocket bullshit.
Right. Five years later, you're the one being harassed, so your views on that may change.
Right. Now you understand, like, oh, people can drive you to a point where you say some crazy shit. You didn't mean to say some crazy shit, but point being, like, so I think the show we do, we try to have integrity and we fight for the space to be honest and open and transparent to a certain extent, but also just to still be ourselves. And you know, I think the audience kind of grows with you. You know, there's opinions that, like I said, I'm sure 5-6 years ago, if I go back and listen to the old archives, I'm sure I would be like, oh yeah, I don't believe that anymore. You know, just on like stuff like marriage equality. I remember when I've never been anti-marriage equality pretty much ever in my life. But the point being, I remember on this show when I started, and I was kind of like, who gives a fuck who people are fucking? Fuck who you want to fuck. I don't care. Why do you care who people are fucking? They're consenting adults. Leave them the fuck alone. And that was my opinion on marriage equality. But, you know, over the years, I kind of thought about it and evolved, and I was like, no, I do care. I do want people to be able to have marriage equality. And it's not just I don't give a fuck. It's I very much give a fuck about you deserving the same rights as me, because that's what we need. The same way that I need somebody to give a fuck about cops killing us in the street, I need people to give a fuck about LGBT people being treated the same way that we treat everybody else. Like, that's right. What equality is the equal treatment. It's not equal apathy towards one's state. I mean, maybe we can get to that point one day. That's probably like the truest equality is when everyone gives no fucks about each other. As far as like, that's probably the closest we'll ever get. But right now, we don't have that. So what we can do is be proactive about the people that we see getting the shaft, right, and caring about shit that it doesn't quote unquote really affect us, but maybe signal boosting it, maybe giving your opinion on it, maybe spreading awareness about it. Maybe that can bring about some change. And I feel like that's an opinion I didn't have when we started this show. And as you know, so the audience has grown as we've grown. And I just think it's because we're so good at what we do that it still ends up feeling like you hanging out with us at the cookout, you know, and we just talking. That's all. But that, you know, but we have grown and the show's grown. And yes, we've dealt with more trolls and shit too. Anyway, can't close out without showing my girl Karen some love. Karen's puns are getting good. Rod, she is coming for your title. I know. She's getting comfortable over there, ain't she? Just bam, bam, bam. Hope y'all don't have to spend too much time this feedback show talking about Critter Getter. We got to get back to these jokes. I'm good.
We back to the jokes.
Yeah, it's jokes even when we talking about him. But what's funny is he just totally had it wrong. He thought Karen was the annoying bitch in the relationship, and it's me, nigga.
Oh Lord!
Surprise! It's me, dog. I'll make the time. Let's see. Lloyd writes in. What's up, Karen and Rod? It's called Overdue Review. Rod and Karen. It's me, Lloyd, from BAPPOD. Oh, the Black Astronauts. Okay.
Hey, baby.
Houston, we have a problem podcast show. Thank you for writing in. I hope everything is well with you. Just writing in to let you guys know that you are awesome, and I live for each show every day. I enjoy your well-informed commentary and quick-witted puns. Karen, I love your laugh. It's real, and it brings me joy every time I hear it. Episode 1338, Mudia, Diary of a Mad Cow. I know you guys are trying to avoid an angry episode, but I enjoy every minute, especially the epic rant dragon that Karen did. I found myself yelling, bitch, good, go off. There you go. Fuck allyship, fuck white women, fuck white men, fuck 30% of Hispanic, Latino men and women who voted for Trump. Fuck everybody. The fuck a safety pin mean to me? Lord, I was clapping so hard, I had to sit my big pregnant ass down because my heart rate was surpassed the 150 BPM that is considered safe. She pretty much summed up all my feelings. Watching and hearing Trump on the news, learning off of all his cabinet picks, literally gives me stress. I feel so bad for my daughter who gets to be born in Trump's America. I have no patience for anyone trying to justify their vote for Trump. I live for white tears of those who voted for his racist orange starburst and now realize they made a mistake.
Mm-hmm. I see all kinds, not to get off topic, I see all types of articles popping up on Facebook about people in these mills that he tricked to vote for him, talking about they felt left out, he ain't doing what he promised, and motherfuckers tried to tell y'all he could not bring these jobs back. Y'all need to re-educate yourselves.
Mm-hmm. I agree. Yeah, I laugh at those articles. I don't even really share them. I just look at them and be like, ha. Because you knew. You voted for racism and then you went, oh yeah, I guess everything else is important in the government. Oh well, guess I'll try to figure a way to live without Medicaid. I find solace in knowing that he will ruin their lives too. Karen, I needed that rant. You're the best. Yeah, I just shut up and let her do her thing.
Yeah, I got fed up. Like, you know, because it's a lot, particularly in a black woman. And that shit means a lot because I think a lot of times, particularly being a female, being a black female, it's just a lot of nuances and things that you see that sometimes black men don't see. And particularly when it comes to white women tears, a lot of times dudes don't have to really deal with that. Not unless you're dating or living with a white woman, you really don't have to deal with it on a everyday basis, and sometimes not even on a racist basis as a black woman do. And that shit get really, 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 really old really quickly. Mm-hmm. Especially for those that don't understand and they're not trying to understand.
She also goes on to say, in other news, I live in Cincy, Ohio, graduate of the University of We Kill Black Men for Pulling Off Cincinnati. By the time you read this, I'm sure that the controversial heartbeat bill will become law simply because Governor Cassius is a bitch ass nigga with no conscience. I doubt he will actually sign the bill, but what he will do is leave it for the 10 days so it returns to Ohio Congress and becomes law. I'll never understand the GOP obsession with women's vaginas and reproductive organs. This is the party that will do anything to protect the unborn fetus and then turn around and gut Social Security net so that they, to save them after they're born. They should be called the pro-birth party because they don't give a fuck about the lives of these children after birth. Sorry I'm ranting. Love y'all. Keep it up.
That's true though.
Mm-hmm. P.S. the clapback on that troll was phenomenal. I love how Rod gets fired up about his wife slash partner. We need more men like you. Love, peace, and bacon grease, Lloyd. Thank you, Lloyd.
Thank you, baby.
Let's see. I know HH, because I know I was fucking up your name. Oh, Q. Okay, you go by Q. All right, cool. Hey, Rod, Karen, I'm Q. I'm an overeducated black woman, wife, and mother of two, who also loves ratchetness, mess, and foolishness. I've been a faithful listener for over a year and just now became premium. Oh, wait, and the title of this email is, Why Was I So Happy That You Confronted and Defeated Your Troll? I just became a premium content subscriber.
Welcome to the club.
I love politics and political theater, and during this election cycle, I consume tons of media that's centered around that. But since the election, I've had to stop cold turkey because otherwise I'd have panic attacks every hour on the hour, right? I'll be looking at this news like, nope.
Yeah, tap out.
Like, you know how much shit we haven't covered on this show? Because I'll just be looking like, of course, like...
Everything that we've been wondering about, people have been ignoring. Like, okay, like a lot of shit I just let go on down my timeline, just laugh at and keep it going.
The worst part about being pragmatic and cynical is that you don't even get to be rejoiceful when you write,
because you want to be wrong,
right? I'll be like, of course he's just gone. Okay, just another Goldman Sachs person in charge of the economy. Okay, but y'all ain't like Hillary, you know, it's that shit, and I'll just be about to go crazy. I'm like, you know what, when we do the show, just gonna talk about white people news. Fuck it. You know, like, let's do the show today and we'll talk about what Lil Bow Wow said. Like, I'm sorry, but I can't. Mm-hmm. No, really. A bitch has been feeling low and scared for the last 3 weeks because I truly feel that this man's presidency will make the world a much more dangerous place for brown and black people, women and girls. Yep. So since the election, I turned even more to you and Karen's show, and whether the topic is serious or light, your podcast one of the spots in my day when I'm cheerful. I follow you and Karen on Twitter, and since I am pretty much new hashtag on here, well, you already learned some of the hashtag stuff. Since I'm pretty much new hashtag on there, it took me a minute to follow what was happening with your troll, but when I saw how quickly you unraveled his identity and brought the pain to his workplace, I got heated and happy. I remember thinking, yes, Rod, finish him. No mercy, because they need to learn. They need to learn. I was also a little surprised at the anger in my heart at a man I didn't even know who decided to fuck with people I never met. I mean, I am somebody's mama, and I like to think I have a warm and forgiving heart. But, ooh, I was so glad you gathered that man together and aired his whack ass out. And after a little thought and introspection, I figured out why I was so mad that he harassed you all. I know that creating your podcast and other content is your full-time gig, and I appreciate that you always manage somehow to make us laugh, no matter what the subject matter may be. But in all seriousness, you are out here helping people. So how dare that fool slander Karen's laugh? I love her laugh. It makes me happy to hear another black woman be happy. When I hear Karen's laugh, I'm immediately reminded, oh yeah, black women get to be joyful. We get to express the joy in our hearts, too. That's how bad it is out here for us. We have to remind ourselves that we had a right to happiness. When I listen to y'all, my spirits lift a little. I laugh. I cheer the fuck up for one or sometimes two blessed hours of constantly worrying about how to educate and raise my girls to keep my little family and coins safe from what this crazy administration is about to unleash upon us. I am clearly not alone. Being educated, woke, and black in America is exhausting, and you, Karen, and your show help us to decompress. I value you all and the comment that you create. Ultimately, I was pissed because the troll was fucking with something valuable. I'm so glad you checked his ass and stood up for your wife. Lastly, if it weren't for you and Karen, I would never have figured out what a nerd I am and apparently have been my whole life. Karen was in nerd denial too, if you, in all fairness. Damn, I wish I had access to a Blurred / BGN community when I was a girl. Ah, well, I have it now. Without the blackout tips, I would also never have figured out that listening to my fellow black folks talk about Game of Thrones is almost as fun as watching it. Ain't it, though? I was thinking about that today. I was listening to that Vince Staples North North, and I was remixing in my head to be for the Lannisters already. Like, I was already... Like, sometimes I'll remix rap songs for Game of Thrones, and I was already doing it in my head. I was like, from a city where the bastards carry strong heat, Northside Stark Keep, Northside Stark Keep.
Yeah.
Like, I ain't do all the lyrics yet, though. But I couldn't help it, man, because you got to bring some blackness when we talk about this nerd shit. Mm-hmm. Because of you all, I got a 44. Because of you all at 44, I get to acknowledge something new and fun and cool, kind of cool about myself, my nerdiness. And listening after hitting 40, managing to stay happily married while raising two kids, discovering cool, fun things about yourself is pretty rare. So thanks for that, too. All right, enough standing. Y'all are awesome. Cheers, Q from Mill Valley. Thank you, Q.
Yeah, you're never too old to enjoy life, honey. Enjoy life.
That is awesome. That is awesome as hell. Thank you so much. Mm-hmm. Ralph wrote in feedback. Hey, hello, Karen and Rod, premium listener here. I also converted my brother to the cause, and he's now a proud premium listener as well. Each one is what I'm talking about.
Thank you, baby.
BDS is the best, especially on Karen days. Yep, I do love some Balls D Sports, and I do love it when Karen can be here to enjoy it with us.
Yeah, it's like, I don't know if it's good or bad for Roger, because then you got me and Justin.
The people that listen love the chaos of you both being on at the same time. I could tell. I haven't written in a while and wanted to say thank you for all the great content as well as all the other podcasts I've been introduced to, especially Three Guys On. I love that show, man.
Three Guys On my shit.
There's literally too much to listen to, which is one of those good problems. I found that other white podcasts that I used to listen to have completely fallen off of me as I enjoy the black perspective on issues of the day. You guys provide an amazing service to all of us on that front. Yeah, I was participating in a hashtag, like a Twitter chat, for support POC pods, and I think it was led by, I heard about it from Black Girls Nerds, but it was actually led by this other dude, Asian guy, and I was learning about so many different podcasts I hadn't even heard before, because I do want to support these podcasts out here.
And other people of color, and start, you know, branching out and stuff like that, because there are other people out there who aren't even on our radar. So, you know, when people have this stuff, I actually do go in and save and look for these other podcasts, because we like to expand. So, you know, 2017 coming up, we in Trump's America, so we got to let y'all know it's some more of us out here. So we'll probably be introducing y'all to some more people.
Yeah, so but yeah, man, getting those different perspectives matters, because we're pretty much fed the mainstream white perspective on everything in America.
Yes, we are.
And it doesn't mean that those shows aren't good or they have no merit or value, but some things, like everybody with privilege, you're just blind to those things. You have a blind spot, you don't know. And there's a lot of white shows that were like that for me, you know. There was a ton of white shows that I don't know if I listen to any political white show anymore because of how giddy they were about Trump. You know, I couldn't take it.
I had to tap out.
Yeah, I couldn't.
It was a game to them. I'm like, nah, dog, this is my life.
Yeah, and I'm talking over a year ago. This wasn't even some shit from like, oh, this, mm-hmm. these last 2 months. Like, nah, mm-hmm. over a year ago, I was like, y'all motherfuckers sound a little too happy and not enough. This is dangerous. He could win. He's scary. You know, it's not okay that there's even one candidate that's openly bigoted on their ballot. Not that the other ones are better, quote unquote, but his openness was something new and something dangerous. But white people didn't really have to worry about those things because they didn't fit into the categories of people that he really hates. Like,
right.
They're not Muslim, they're not like, they're not Mexican, they're not black, like, you know, and especially for the men, they're not women, which is why he took the white male vote so heavily, you know. But anyway, also, I wanted to say that I particularly enjoyed you smacking down that troll. It's hilarious how people treat the internet as a game and act out tough, and you can get real conciliatory when they are potentially having real life consequences. General rule I follow: if I wouldn't say it to you in person, I'm not going to say it to you online.
Come on.
if that dude was to see you both in person and try to call Karen out her name, he'd have to prepare to potentially get those hands. But of course, he's a coward and would never do that. I'm glad you injected some reality into that troll's life. Keep doing what you're doing and make sure you guys get some breaks in there. Your schedule seems exhausting. It can be. Thanks again for being the highlight of every week, as well as developing such a positive, vibrant, amazing community of listeners online. Also happy to see your profile grow. Much deserved. Yeah, 2016 has been a big year for us growing our profile and trying some new shit. So yeah,
2016, I mean, it's had its ups and its downs, but I'm not even gonna lie, even with the upcoming Trump's America, 2016, as far as like us doing podcasting, has honestly been one of the best years yet. We got to meet a lot of people who we've been friends with for years, and like across the internet and all that shit. Like meeting y'all in real life, doing the meetups, like that meant a lot to me as far as like a podcast. And I know the best is yet to come. Even in Trump's quote unquote America, we can still do great things.
So lastly, last email, guys, if you had, would the troll reach out to us again? I feel like you won. Jay Renfro, this is from Danny Barnes Dash Yard, according to her account. Dear Rod, I listen to the podcast several times per week and have been doing so for years. I'm sorry to hear about the problems that you and Karen have been having with Jay Renfro spelling. Oh, you know how to spell it, Jason. You know how to spell it. His behavior is inexcusable. I'm a journalist and have endured similar kinds of harassment on the internet in relationship to my professional work, including both racist and sexist slurs, and one person even attacking my only child. It's disheartening and scary, to say the least. In most cases, I know who the perpetrators are and could easily figure out where they lived or worked. That being said, I would like to say that I do not think it was appropriate for you to contact Renfro's job and furthermore tell all the listeners where he works. In my opinion, it was going too far. I have to agree with quote unquote James the attorney on this point. I already know that you fake, because nobody agrees with James the attorney. Everybody's like, James, fuck James.
Attorney ain't real, dog. He right. Not real. He not even on the bar.
Perhaps more importantly though, I believe you have spent at least an hour on this topic. As a listener, I find it tedious. I do not believe it is the reason that most listeners tune in. Well, surprise, surprise, you would absolutely be wrong. I would say we've gotten more, listen to this feedback show, we got more engagement this week, but people being like, I'm glad you got in that troll, but your opinion is noted, one person. I hope he doesn't bother you and Karen again. We have more important things to talk about, like sword ratchetness, for instance. Respectfully, Danny. Disrespectfully, we ain't do shit. Karen and I do this show. Ain't no we, nigga. You ain't picked not nan topic. You've never written into the show before. Ain't no we, Danny, quote unquote. And I know you're not a fan of the show, because if you were a fan of the show and you really wanted us to move on, you wouldn't have written this email. You wouldn't have wrote this email, because you know we do a feedback show where we go over the emails that we get throughout the week. So it doesn't even make sense that a fan who doesn't want us to talk about something would write in like, don't talk about this. You would just shut the fuck up, because you know we're gonna move on, because we don't give a fuck either. I replied, but if you listen to the show, you know that this email is just another thing that'll keep us talking about it. Why even send it? We want to move on too. Danny responded, I'm not sure I follow. Oh, I'm sure you don't follow. You don't listen to the show. I never asked you to mention or read my email on the show. They all get read, nigga. They all get read. Unless you say, don't read this. What the fuck? Don't write in for feedback. I have been trapped, right? This isn't a personal conversation. All right? You're not my friend. You didn't even write in, hey, just want to privately pull you. You wrote in.
Yeah, because we have people write all the time, and they'd be like, hey, don't read this on the show. We respect that. Like, yeah.
Keep in mind, I also started Googling. Danny Barnes Yard, who apparently, you know, obviously, you've been harassed. You're a journalist. Zero. Can't find shit right on Danny Barnes Yard. Journalist who gets harassed and writes these pieces that people will come find. You don't have a Twitter account. Where are they harassing you, Danny? Where are your articles at? I love a link to your work. So, Danny, quote unquote, goes on. I have been traveling, so I'm behind on podcasts. Hopefully the topic of this fool is no longer au courant on the podcast. And then au courant, sorry, auto correct strikes again and sad kitty face. And I responded, you say you were tired of us talking about it on the podcast. You know, if you write in, it will end up, we'll end up talking about your email, thus increasing the likelihood that we will not move on. Do you have links to your work where you were harassed? What articles did you write? Who do you write for? I tried to look you up, but I couldn't find anything. And yeah, I guess she's still traveling, because that was 2 days ago and I ain't getting no response. Right. Just leave us alone, Jason. It don't have to be like this. Could be simple. You just shut up and leave us alone. You can't control this. You can't win this. All right? You're very transparent. That's all I'm saying. All right, guys, we'll be back tomorrow if Karen feels up to it after, you know, if she goes to work and all that stuff. We'll see. But thank you so much. Karen, how are you feeling, by the way?
I feel fine.
All right, Karen feels fine. So maybe we will be back tomorrow. Thank you so much for listening to the show, everybody out there in podcast land. Until tomorrow, I love you.
I love you too. Mwah.